B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning. Thought I'd help you wake up.
It's 6 a.m. and you're listening to The John Kincaid Show, Philadelphia's longest running sports talk morning show on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Let the party begin.
The show starts now.
Yeah, it does. And a happy holiday Friday, everybody. Hope everybody's in a good mood today as we look towards a long weekend, Memorial Day on Monday. Can't wait for it. So let's have some fun here for the next few hours here on the John Kincaid Show. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. We're all getting it done. We got Haley on the YouTube channel. I don't know if I've been as frustrated after a Philly loss, Jamie, as I was last night. But I'm still a little... I hate to look at a Thursday night game or whatever, but... Yeah, last night ticked me off a little bit, and you texted me in the middle of it, and you didn't seem real happy about it either.
Yeah, I mean, you needed better from Aaron Nola, plain and simple. You know, the offense wasn't the problem last night, and then the starting pitching goes out and allows a run after every run they seem to get or tie the game or go ahead with. And, you know, the Castellanos slide that almost was to put him up 7-6.
What happened there? His foot just kind of... hits the ground hard and bounces.
I thought they got the right call.
I thought it was right also, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like his foot, like, he should have gone to the back corner of the plate instead of the front left corner.
Yeah, whatever. There wasn't much aiming going on with his foot. It was kind of just like, yeah, get down and see what happens.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I like sending him there, though.
Yeah, Dusty Watson made the right call, I thought.
Yeah, make them make a play.
Yeah.
Yeah, frustrating as hell. It's, you know, Schwarber comes up with the clutch RBI double. You know, Stott continues to be hot. Bohm puts one deep in the seat. Harper hits the home run. You got what you got out of your offense. That shouldn't have been the problem. But Aaron Nola just went out there and gave back everything that the offense would give him.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot on Nola today because he is the lead story in my head today, and it's not a good one.
He's a very weird case.
I don't want to overreact to a Thursday night game, but
no, it's been all season.
Yeah,
pretty much. He hasn't been good enough.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was surprised. They flashed this up last night, Connor, that in his last seven starts, Nola was 4-1 with like a 3.50 ERA. So I guess he hasn't been all that bad, but he hasn't been anything that I was more surprised at that than anything else.
Well, I think that's because pitching everywhere is kind of bad.
Yeah, probably. I mean, you just can't have. I don't want to say he can't have that kind of an outing. But you're looking for more from him last night, Connor, in a big game against the Atlanta Braves?
Aaron Nola is so weird in that you see numbers like that one you were just talking about. And it's like, did I get, like, Men in Black mind erased for those four starts that he won? Like, you try and think back, and it's almost like there's no discerning memories from the good moments. And we really, really remember the bad with him. I know that's a normal thing in sports already, but for some reason... Yeah, you're right. He doesn't feel like he's pitched well at any point this year. And then you look at the numbers and you're like, okay, he hasn't been that bad. He just can't consistently be good. I don't get it. I don't know if it's a mental thing. I don't know if it's mechanics, but you can't. And this is why they didn't pay him this offseason, because this is what he's been. Like, he hasn't been consistent enough to warrant the payday that his talent probably deserves.
And Jamie sends out a text last night and couldn't have been any truer. My God, every time the Phillies score a run, they give up a run in the next inning.
It's
no matter who it is. It can be your starter. It can be relievers. Whatever it is, whenever they seem to come up big,
they can't get a shutdown inning.
Can't get it.
It's really bad, and it's more than just a fluke at this point. It's a trend. It's really bad. That number that Ricky Bowe and Michael B gave out the other night, it's over 50% of the time.
That's crazy.
You're not going to be a winning baseball team doing
that. No, and it's a mental thing, right? It's got to be in their heads that every time they score, uh-oh, here we go. It's got to be in the relievers, starters, whatever's heads. Like we talked about before, teams at Sixers years ago, so good at home but bad on the road. There's no rhyme or reason for it. Why are you giving up runs every time after you score a run?
I can't explain it except between the ears.
That's what I think too, right? It's got to be between the ears. And you know what? I hate to say it. I'm done with kind of one of the relievers.
Oh, you're going to say it. Go ahead.
I mean, I just don't trust Soto at all anymore.
He's been good, though.
Has he?
Yeah, like, pitching's weird this year. Numbers are really juiced. I think Soto's been pretty good prior to, you know, last night. And
okay, I'll give you that. I don't know. Somebody always sticks out to you that, like, oh, yeah, they're going to blow up, they're going to blow up. And I guess he sticks out to me when he blows up more than when he pitches well.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. That's total stupid fandom.
Yeah, but it is what it is. I like Soto a lot. And Jamie's right. He's pitched better than I think a lot of people give him credit for, because when he has bad innings, he was like Jose Alvarado at the start of last year. When he had bad innings, he had bad
innings.
They blow up. But here's the thing, right? If you're Gregory Soto and you're a young guy, you're in Detroit, you're a multi-time all-star as a closer, and you get traded to Philadelphia for two guys who played on a major league roster that went to the World Series last year, your thought process coming in here is what? I'm going to be the closer for the Philadelphia Phillies, because they don't have one. They don't have one established. They've had a revolving door at that position. And then you come in and you're not that guy. Not that he should be.
He's not that guy.
Because Kimbrel has been good in that role this year. Like, Kimbrel has earned getting those opportunities. But if you're Soto, you're a young player who's used to that position.
He's not that young. He's 28.
I mean, he's been in the majors for what, 5 years?
He's your age.
I'm still young.
You come in here complaining about strawberries and pulled hamstrings and calves and all that.
Yeah, dude, 7-year-olds get strawberries. You fall, you get hurt.
Like, I'm surprised you come in today after playing a men's basketball game last night, not limping around and shuffling around.
You're diverting away. This is not about me. This is about Gregory Soto. I'm ready to go.
It's all about you, Connie.
But
you know that.
I do think him not being in the closer role could be a bit of a mental adjustment for him that's causing some of these issues. But again, like, he's got to be ready to do that, because Kimbrel's earned the closer spot right now. So to cut him a little bit of slack, think that was his goal coming in.
He's got 4 losses already on the year as a reliever.
Yeah, I wonder how many of those are inherited runs.
Could be.
You know, sticky situations.
Yeah, numbers are different, but...
But, you know, Connor said something about Aaron Nola. It's, you know, unique to this year, and it's not really. It's his whole career. I don't know what it is. You know, like yesterday I was reading Jim Bowden's top free agents of next year, and no surprise, Otani's...
Look at you looking ahead.
Otani's number one.
Oh, really?
Well, I really like Jim Bowden, and it popped up, and I just clicked on it. Aaron Nola's the third top free agent next year. And Jim Bowden is really good.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, pitcher or just...
Player.
Player in general. Wow.
Player in general.
That surprises me, I gotta say.
Julio Urias from the Dodgers, right, number 2. Nola, 3. Matt Chapman from the Blue Jays, number 4. And then, obviously, Otani, number 1. From 2017 to 2022, Aaron Nola has, I think, the third best pitching war in baseball.
Okay.
He's been a part now of a World Series team.
And he pitched.
Look, and it wasn't until last year that we said, oh, he finally got over the late season hump, and he's changed. And it's like, he's been very good. He's a top 10 probably franchise pitcher of all time. But I never have confidence in him.
Does he get a wrong look from Phillies fans? Like, last year in the playoffs, him and Wheeler, I couldn't wait for them to get on the mound. In the playoffs, phenomenal. I thought he battled his ass off. He was really good at times. You know, once in a while, okay, whatever. But do we look at him like last night?
I don't know how I look at him.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And I'm going to have something we're going to talk about.
I think he's
a
number 2.
Yeah.
But I don't have confidence in him, but I recognize that he's been very good in his career.
Now, last year during the playoffs, I did. I had a lot of confidence in him. It's probably the first time I ever did.
Yeah, I don't know how I view Aaron Nola. It changes weekly, it feels like.
Who does that sound like to you, Jamie? A guy who's not the top dog, that's still very good, that you trust his track record, but is inconsistent.
James Harden.
Coach. Absolutely. Well, coach too. But he's just like James Harden's Eastern Conference semifinals is what Aaron Nola is. Someone's still going to throw the
really
bag
good
at James
games,
Harden.
4 bad games.
Exactly. And we might harp on the bad ones, but he could also go out there and
drop 45.
Set a strikeout record. Exactly. So,
it's not bad, Connor.
Yeah, no problem.
I like that comparison.
I wish we weren't making that comparison. I wish he was just Joel Embiid, and so was Zach Wheeler, and so was everybody. But he's super talented with just inconsistencies at this point. And the difference between him and Harden is when Harden was in his prime, he was this guy every night. Nola's in his prime now, and he's this inconsistent. I don't know how you pay the guy.
But at the same time, what do you got?
I mean, Andrew Painter. Not this year. But
I've never seen him pitch in a Phillies uniform.
Yeah, I'm saying not this year, next year. That's why it's super important.
Yeah, but even next year, I can't go into the year with World Series aspirations going, Andrew Painter's going to take us there.
Well, let's see what he does this year.
They're going to have to do something with this starting these starters. Either they have to do it from within or they're going to have to go outside. Like Tywon Walker's going to have to have a good outing tonight. Zach Wheeler's going to have to be an ace tomorrow. You can't just go to Atlanta and poop the bed and you know, blow it off and say, oh, it's okay. You know, we're still there. This starting pitching is, before it was head-scratching, now it's becoming close to a concern.
I've been concerned about it for a while. I'm concerned about a lot of things with the Phillies.
Well, you get more nervous than I do. I'm kind of more laid back.
You're cool.
No, I'm not cool at all.
You're just cool.
Now, I just thought, okay, it's going to happen. Now I'm getting concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. Bradford White is here for the pro. All right, our morning mind bender today. I think it's kind of easy. I didn't look at the answer, but I unless it's looking for specifics. The question is, this is made up of 70,000 wooden planks and stretches for nearly 2.5 miles.
But I think,
what is it?
I think we all know boardwalk, but boardwalk, I think it's what specific I boardwalk.
That's what I said.
Yes.
I don't.
I'm going to go with Atlantic City.
I have Ocean City written down on mine.
I've got Wildwood.
All right, so we got it all covered, I think.
Well, I don't know. Does
well, those are the three big ones.
No, not really.
Okay. 2.5 miles is pretty lengthy.
Yeah, so we got the three big ones here on the checklist. Coach, what is it?
Yeah, we're not. This is.
It's pretty easy.
Show me Wildwood.
You're all correct, except Connor is more correct.
Yeah.
That
was my gut, and I changed to Atlantic City.
It is the Wildwood Boardwalk.
Which boardwalk have you guys spent the most time on of those three?
Ocean City.
Wow.
I've never really been a Wildwood guy ever.
I mean, I've been on the Wildwood beaches maybe three times in my life.
Yeah.
I'll be down there this weekend. It's a toss-up, honestly. They're all close. I'm normally a Sea Isle or LBI guy, so when I go to those other ones, it's just like one day out of the summer. So
I love LBI.
LBI is such a great day trip spot.
Yeah, LBI is awesome.
I've only been there a couple of times, too.
Oh, it's great.
You'd love it. It's a super Bob Cooney beach, I feel like.
Yeah, I think. What does that mean?
I don't know. Like, Sea Isle's more like there's nightlife going on, ACs, casinos. Like, it's very low key.
Yeah, it's
low key. Drink if you want to, but it's more of a family environment. It seems
that's
right up your alley.
That's why I vacation in Ocean City.
Yeah, but yeah. Ocean City's a dry town. You're not a dry guy.
That's such an overrated thing. Like, what do you mean it's a dry town? Like,
you can't go to a bar.
Okay, so you can go 5 minutes to Sea Isle and 10 minutes to Margate, whatever. I mean, it's not that big.
No, it's not.
No, I'm just saying with Bob Cooney.
You're going to be in Ocean City this weekend. Is the fact that it's a dry town going to affect the way you drink this weekend, Jamie?
No, I probably wouldn't be going out this weekend anyway.
Right.
So I'll just bring my beers to the beach like I always do. And
get him, bad boy.
Get him, Beach Patrol.
So did anybody see this thing? I heard it, but I didn't see the story that there is some kind of a ban. Did you read it or not?
Yeah, I read the headline. It said Wildwood to ban all alcohol on boardwalk.
Ha. On boardwalk? Do people drink on the boardwalk?
People drink everywhere, Bob.
Oh, I got to tell you. I think
I don't know. I'm not a Wildwood guy. I've never been.
Yeah, me neither. I think
I assume they do.
I think it's a little obnoxious to openly walk around with alcoholic beverages.
Where?
Now, like on a boardwalk, walking on the street. I don't mind if you're, you know, on the front porch.
Because like Addie
whatever.
And I walk the neighborhood and sometimes we pour.
But you'll have solo cups or something.
Yes, but occasionally if I'm heading to my cousin's pool or something, I'll just have a beer can.
Oh, and you're talking like in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm talking about like public places where there's a lot of people.
Like,
no, I have no problem walking. Well, if I'm walking the dog or something or whatever, and I have a beer, I'll pour it into something that doesn't obviously.
Yeah, but everybody knows what's in that solo cup.
I hear you. I just mean like having a beer can like on the boardwalk or something like that. I don't think that's a great look. I don't mind the solo cups, and everybody knows. Who cares? I thought that they were trying to ban it on the beach. Also, we'll have to look.
I don't know.
Make sure that we're.
It didn't affect me, so I didn't read it.
Yeah, if they're saying, like, we don't want noticeable bottles and cans of booze on the beach, okay, I can live with that.
Bring your cups. You just got to sneak them in.
Bring your cups. Everybody knows we're all drinking on the beach. I'm not a huge beach drinker.
Really?
What?
Oh, it's like my favorite place to have a beer.
For sure.
I bring a cooler down, obviously, and it has most of the kids' stuff, and I'll throw a few beers in there and stuff like that. But, yeah, when we're on vacations, I may have one later in the afternoon. And then my favorite time is when you go back and you clean off everything. I tell everybody, go get your showers, all that. I'll clean off all the chairs, the whatever, and opening a beer then while you're doing all that and putting everything away. Oh. And then everybody else is done getting their showers, and then you get the shower beer, and you get in the outside. There's no better time
than
the day.
Only one issue, Bobby. Can't be showering. It's no shower happy hour. You got to hit happy hour,
dude,
and then you come
smell.
Back.
Trust me when I tell you, you need to shower.
Oh, like I'm the only one that does no shower happy hour down the shore because
no,
I can't
you're
smell.
Not the only one. But that's not
that's the way to do it. Right?
I'm not doing a no shower happy hour when my family's gathering around. And I'm about to cook dinner.
I like ditch them. Tell them to clean up the chairs themselves and go grab beer.
I like the feeling of a shower after the beach. So here, according to Philly Voice, Wildwood leaders approve a ban on alcohol on the beach and boardwalk, except in designated bars and restaurants.
So further going on, is it just open containers on the beach or like no alcohol at all?
Ban on alcohol on the beach and boardwalk.
So yeah, but there are other beaches that have banned that just like they won't go through the trouble of checking your cup. I imagine that's probably just they're trying to crack down on it a little bit, but I'm sure you can still find a way.
I don't know if there's a rule, if there's a law out there.
I'll be down there this weekend. I'll let you know if I'm at work.
I can't wait to find out how much your tickets for
$35, $25. Ticket. Let's hope it's not bail.
Yeah. What do they do? Do they like check your cooler as you're going on the beach?
I'll report back.
Or do they just have people going around and if they see you open? I mean, everybody opens their cooler, opens a beer and pours it into a red cup and whatever. As long as you're not.
I have like a metal koozie that I slide the beers in. So it's like completely covered.
It
keeps it cold. It's the best $20 you can spend.
When we were not yet maybe 21 or right around
there. Bad boys.
We had a cup that looked like a Coca-Cola can.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Remember them? Yeah, so you pour your beer in there and they thought you were.
I'm sure we fooled everybody.
Yeah.
We have those for softball when we play in a park that we're not supposed to be drinking in, like in an elementary school park or something.
Why don't you just give yourself totally up this weekend? Just put your hands out so they can handcuff you now, Connor.
They got to catch me first.
You're going to go drinking with that sore hand.
Oh, easy, Bobby.
With that sore hamstring, I don't think it will be too hard to catch
you. I got wheels still.
Yeah, you think so?
You try me.
All right, Bradford White Water Heaters. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. So, Jamie, you pumped for the weekend? Is this one of your favorite holiday weekends?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just me, my mom, my sister, and you know, brother-in-law, wife, and the girls. So it's
your wife comes way. You put her way too.
Well, I assume people would think she's coming with me.
I don't know. I was wondering as you were saying it.
So it's great. We just spend a lot of time at the house and on the porch, and you don't do a whole lot.
That's
just
a great place that you go to too. Because I came over a couple of times.
It's my cousin's old original shore house that they've moved on, but kept it in the family and rent it to us. Shout out the Bumgardners of Longport. But yeah, it's great. It's just nice and chill and relaxed, and there's not a pressure because the days aren't usually that great weather-wise. There's not this pressure to like do the whole beach haul.
Yeah,
so you'll just like walk down, spend an hour or two, build a sandcastle, sit around, kind of go back.
You got a playground right near you, also, which is good.
It's just a very chill weekend. It's great.
It's not going to be too bad down the shore. A buddy of mine's going down today. I was talking.
Yeah,
we're
missing the rain. Luckily,
you're not getting rain. It's going to be mid-60s. Hopefully, you hit some 70, but you should be okay.
You always pack a sweatshirt this weekend.
Oh God, this is a hoodie shorts weekend.
Yeah,
down the shore it is. Up here, it's going to be pretty good. Mid-70s to 80s, good sunshine. So hope everybody has a great weekend. I love this weekend. I told you guys yesterday after the show. At like 8:30 yesterday morning, it felt like it was 2 in the afternoon to me because I was so pumped and excited for the weekend. I was wide awake and ready to go. So, all right, when we get back here on the John Kincaid Show, Jamie wants to talk a little Andy Reid, and I want to talk to you about the weekend. Let us know what you're up to. 610-632-0975.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Happy Friday, everybody. Back at the John Kincaid Show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas, Coach Eric Camille. Texted with John yesterday. Still recovering. Doing very, very well. Going to be here on Tuesday.
His sports predictions weren't well.
Well, we don't know yet because he sent us all a text last night.
You think they're going to take the next three?
I didn't say me. I'm just saying. So John sent us a group text last night and he says, Phillies are going to win 3 of 4 to this series.
Yeah.
And at the time, oh no, it was before the game started.
It was right around game time, yeah.
And then the Braves come out and hit a 2-run bomb to start things off. And I said, Kincaid, stop doing this. You hurt us when you make your Philadelphia-Atlanta predictions.
Austin Riley, those were big boy homers.
Yeah, they were.
So was Bohms.
The Braves are just a winning organization.
They're awesome, and you're not going to catch them, and that's a hard reality to probably accept. You're playing for wild card teams again.
I mean, they're throwing out not even a Triple A pitcher last night.
Dodd.
Ben Davis has given out the numbers on this guy, Dodd, almost in hopes of, all right, do you hear me, Phillies? Like, this guy's not very good. The first time through the lineup, teams have like a 300 average against them. The second time, it's up to like 600. Like, the guy's not that great.
They're not. The Braves are a machine, and they've lost Fried now twice. You know, they've lost one of their top end rotation starters for the majority of this season. Because Fried went on early with a hamstring. Yeah. Now he's off again for like 6 weeks. And they don't skip a beat.
No.
We have little things go wrong, sometimes bigger, and it's just like the wheels fall off.
This is exactly, I mean, if you want a model, hello, Phillies, you need a pitcher to come in and get you some innings. They go down to AAA, pick up a guy, and Ben, I think it was Ben Davis that said last night, how do you even bring up a guy from AAA that had a 6 ERA?
Yeah.
And Tom McCarthy was like, I guess they saw something in him, I don't know. Well, he comes up, doesn't have a great game last night, but the offense picks him up.
They won.
And he's able to win. Yeah. Why can't the Phillies just do that when they need someone to plug in and start?
I want Griff McGarry up here.
Right now.
I don't care.
Start him Sunday.
Yeah.
Because right now you go Taijuan Walker tonight, you go Zach Wheeler tomorrow, and you have a TBD on Sunday.
Yeah, he's
and
23
McGarry
years
pitched
old.
What? What's today, Friday? He pitched Wednesday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can get him in for some innings on.
Well, it's okay because Sunday you only face Spencer Strider. So
yeah, exactly.
It's easy welcome to the show moment there.
Yeah.
Hey, we were just talking about Wildwood and how great the Shore is. Well, you can experience thrills and make a splash with the Fanatic Deal of the Week. Get one same-day ride and water park ticket to Maury's Piers for $70. That's unlimited rides on all three piers and access to both water parks. Check it out now at 97.5thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Get your combo ticket before they're gone. Supplies are very limited. All right, talking about the Shore, and you guys are going to hit it this weekend. I'm not. We're going to stay. We got invited to go to a couple of places, but it just kind of didn't work out. We have to go to a funeral tomorrow and this and that and the other. So we're just going to stay home this weekend. But if you were to look at the Shore, just in general maybe, or maybe a specific, what's your absolute favorite thing about it? I'll give you mine, for example. I love waking up to the sound of seagulls.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's weird, and seagulls usually are early ones, but I can't sleep in down the Shore anyway.
And the Shore always, when you wake up, I don't know if it's my cousin's house or just it's more breezy, the sound of blinds.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one,
rattling
too.
Against the window.
Yeah, if you're close to the beach, I love having the windows open.
Yeah, we always do windows open.
And if you, I think you're pretty close to the beach, so you probably hear the waves splashing and all, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're outside, I don't know if you hear it in the bedrooms, but yeah.
Well, you got a lot going on, that's why. Connor, what about you?
You guys have super wholesome answers. Mine's the hot people. There's everyone down the Shore is hot. All right, no.
What do you mean, everyone? There's some guys that are wearing the banana hammock that probably shouldn't. There's probably some girls that are wearing bikinis instead of a two-piecer. They should probably have 6 or 7 pieces. Like, not everybody down the Shore is hot.
Yeah, but it's a large percentage of good-looking people all on the beach having a good time, wearing their best bathing suits and everything. It's a great time. It's enjoyable.
I mean, just drinking in general down the Shore used to be. Now it's, you know, life's a little different, but like going to a No Shower happy hours and going to my cousin's deck in Sea Isle and going to my favorite bar, which will remain nameless because I don't want it to get popular.
Because you've gone.
Are you gatekeeping
out of there
right now?
I'm totally gatekeeping.
Whisper it to me, I'll dump it.
This isn't your type of place yet. This is like when you get a little bit old.
You don't know that. I love every type of place. They serve beer?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's great.
Do you have anything that annoys you about the shore? I have one little thing.
Parking.
Yeah. Taking you know, we have four kids, so when the kids were in their prime, loading up and taking the stuff down, oh, God, that was such a pain in the ass.
Yeah, the kids have so much crap. I have to load the car, and I'm, like, dreading it. Because, like, just their Bob stroller takes up, like, half the trunk, and then it's Jenga and Tetris in the car for the rest of their crap. Like, I got to bring a Tupperware thing of magnetiles, because the girls are obsessed with magnetiles.
So, what?
Like,
what are magnets?
They're actually pretty cool. They're like building blocks, but they have magnetic edges, so they all stick together.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But, you know, just like stuff like that. Enjoy just going down with one bag, Connor, is all I'm saying.
I will.
Yeah.
It is hell. I remember, like, packing up and leaving because by that time you're tired anyway because you've been hanging out all day. And then just having to make that walk through the sand with the heavy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Dude, if I ever get rich, one of the things I'm going to do is just every time I go to the beach, I'm just going to leave the beach chairs in the cooler there. And I'm just going to buy new ones after.
That's what we do in the Outer Banks, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it was so...
Because there's so few people?
Yeah, it was so hot last... Like, it was like a heat wave when we were down there last time and setting and taking it back. After day two, we were like... We did the calculations on everything. We're like, all right, you know, we were like, it was like $350 worth of stuff between me and my brother-in-law. And, you know, we were the mules that would go down and set it up. So we were the ones suffering. And I was like, dude, I'm good taking the risk if you are. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And then we just let it, you know, set up there for the next 5 days.
When the beach gets really hot and it's really hot on your feet. So we used to sit around. This is when we were in high school or whatever. And we would sit there, and as people come on the beach and be like, ah, ah, and then they start running, we would start, carasso, carasso. And we start, and people would get so pissed off at us. Like, you know, why don't you help us instead of sitting there clapping
for
us?
What am I going to do, carry your stuff for you?
No, I know, right? The thing that ticks me off most about the beach, now God bless you people that can afford to have beach houses and all that, and, you know, lovely down there. But the people that have the little signs on their lawns, like, please don't, no peeing on the lawn, no dog pee on the lawn or something.
On my rocks?
Yeah, or like, you know, please keep off. And
that bothers you?
You've been peeing on a lot of lawns down the shore, Bob?
Yeah, where are you peeing?
I mean, you're lucky enough, it's not me, it's the dog. You've seen it, it has the
sure,
dog sign.
Yeah. That's never once crossed my mind down the shore.
I do, because I get so jealous that these people have a house down the shore and it's so beautiful. But let me just, you know, the commoner, let me just speak to you a little more and shove my money in your face by saying, oh, and by the way, dog needs to pee, please take him somewhere else. Oh, that drives me nuts.
I don't know if that's a rich thing. I just don't think they want people peeing on their lawn.
Where are dogs going to pee?
I don't know, on the sidewalk?
I mean, dogs pee on the grass.
Hydrant,
what are you going to do?
The sand?
Maybe they have a fire hydrant on their lawn.
I'm not a dog, Bob. I don't know how they think.
I think you've peed everywhere.
I mean, no comment.
There was a guy in Florida the other night that went out to behind a bar to pee because the line for the bathroom was too long, and he lost his arm to an alligator.
What?
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's pretty funny.
Thank God it was his arm.
Yeah. It just happened like two or three nights ago in Florida.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I guess the bar was on water or swamp or something, and he's out by the swamp peeing, and...
I feel like there's something more likely to lose in that scenario. It's not your arm.
Well, I guess you're not fighting it off with that. You're probably fighting it off with your arm.
Yeah.
You once paid $20 to go to the bathroom, so who are you to talk?
That's a fair point. Listen, when you have to go, and the only thing between you and your destination is a bar with a cover, sometimes you have to pay the cover just to go use the bathroom. Wasn't my proudest moment. Got the job done.
But you didn't have an uh-oh in your shorts.
Came pretty close.
Yeah.
Good on you. Hey, in the linchpin, Jamie wants to talk about a slippery slope with a pretty popular person in the NFL.
The linchpin.
Yeah, Andy Reid yesterday. I guess the OTAs are going on in Arrowhead there. And this is brought to you by Bet Parks. Bet Pro Hoops playoffs on Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. The official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan. Must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Andy Reid was at the podium yesterday and not a fan of the new kickoff and special teams rules. So if you missed it the other day, the NFL basically is instituting the college kickoff rules where touchbacks are now 25 yards instead of 20. Punts have, like, kind of all been eliminated for the most part. I don't know. What is a punt return percentage now? Like 20, 25%, it feels like?
If you're looking for a punt returner, at least if you're the Eagles, and it's probably throughout the NFL, you're looking for a guy that can catch, wave his hand and
yeah.
catch the ball.
Yeah, basically. And kickoffs are pretty much done.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid went on to say, basically, he didn't say the word slippery slope, but he said, you know, where does this stop? He said, you know, next thing you know, it's going to be flag football out there. Kickoffs were an awesome part of the game. And they are just gone. Like, I did used to love kickoffs. And I recognize the violence of kickoffs and the wedge and busting the wedge and all right. that. But they were a fun part of the game. Like, people of my youth, like Eric Metcalf, you know what I mean? And, like, oh, Brian Mitchell, yeah. like, these specialists. And
Devin Hester.
Yeah, and who was the beer truck driver from New Orleans? Lewis, or what was his name?
Dude, I have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about.
Remember, he was a beer. He was driving beer. And then he ended up being like the special teams ace for
really?
I don't remember that story at all. Oh, yeah. But like, it's an exciting, fun part of the game. And now it's just dead.
So do you agree with Andy Reid?
I do. Yeah. Like, these guys are grown men. They know the risks and the reward of playing pro football. I'm all for player safety and stuff, but like.
Well, then you can't say it.
But were kickoffs leading to that many?
Apparently, so I read a story 2 days ago. Man, I hurt my back. Jamie just shot a piece of paper in the trash can. I always tried to block it, but I couldn't get to it that time.
Yeah, you know, this radio thing we're doing, it's not important.
No. So I read a thing the other day where they said...
Michael Lewis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 25% it's up concussions over the last 2 years of concussions suffered on kickoffs. Yeah.
It's down, you mean?
No, it said up. It said, and the word they used was raging. I'll look up the story during the break. But, yeah, I read it the other day that concussions are that much up on kickoffs recently, and that's why that's one of the reasons they're doing this.
Well, if that's the case, then I guess I get it. But I do, there's a part of me that finds it very lame.
Here's where the NFL is weird. You're going to throw guys out there on Wednesdays and Thursdays. You're going to flex Thursday games.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't care.
You're putting them in a line to absolutely get hurt. And now you're going to say, oh, but we're going to take away kickoffs because we don't want them to get hurt?
Yeah.
What's the bigger picture here?
Isn't there another way to keep that kickoff safer and still a part of the game?
So their thinking is, in this story again that I read, because teams are now doing like the drop kick where they kick it high, hope the teams catch it around the 10, and then you put them in bad field position, and that's where these injuries are skyrocketing, according to the story that I read. Why don't you just give the ball every time a team scores on the 25? Like we played when we were kids, we didn't do kickoffs. The other team gets the ball. Why don't you just give it to them on the 20, 25 then?
Yeah.
Is that what we're coming to?
I guess that's kind of what Reed's getting at, is like you're fundamentally changing the game a lot.
And you're taking roster spots, you're taking dreams away from...
Yeah.
There's probably a really great Division III or two wide receiver out there or running back out there that might not be able to make an NFL team at that position, but certainly could on a special team.
Yeah, I don't think Devin Hester was making the Bears on it.
He didn't do much of anything else, right?
No, I mean, he was a wide receiver, but he was probably like fifth on the depth chart.
Connor, for it or against it?
I don't really mind it. Now, my childhood was kind of split between the take each other's heads off type of the wedge, all that stuff. Jason Short being a guy for the Eagles that would go ahead and like try and crack someone's skull open every kickoff, and how it is now. So I didn't totally come up with the old way, but it's hard for me to go against anything that they've put research into that says it improves the health of players both during and after playing the game. Like, I don't know. Do I enjoy kickoffs and punts? Absolutely. Are those awesome? Do I like all the things Jamie's talking about? Sure, but I trust that the NFL, if they're eliminating this, they've seen something that they say it's dangerous in some way, and I'm not willing.
Football's dangerous.
It is, but like, I don't know. It doesn't take away that much from the game. If it does that much good to protect the players, I'm fine with it. I'm not pro it. I'm just not against it. It's like,
you're not
whatever.
Pro it?
Yeah.
No?
No. I'm just, okay, it's whatever. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, but I just miss kickoffs.
Yeah, I miss them, but I don't want them back. You know what I mean?
Well, then you don't miss them. If you miss something, you want it back.
Not always.
Sure.
Nah.
What do you mean, I miss something, but I don't want it back?
Sometimes you can miss something and then also let it go. It's It's pretty deep for you there, Bobby, but we're getting deep today.
You are the biggest BS artist I know.
That's not...
You're so good at when you're proven wrong about something, you'll try to justify it, and you sound okay, but I know you don't believe it.
Welcome to Sports Talk Radio, Bob Cooper.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, God. Hey, Discover credit cards do something awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you earn doubled. See terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. I find there may be no better Friday in my year than the Friday leading into Memorial Day.
Yeah?
I love, you know how much I love summer. This is the beginning of it. I told you yesterday I was outside. Like Don even said to me last night, she's like, "You're like a wild man today. What are you doing?" I just get so excited for summer. Summer's my favorite time of the year. Today's the start of it. I actually don't even mind the traffic that we run into on Fridays. Ugh. Just in our normal. Now I live in South Jersey, so
I saw on the news. We're leaving at like 3:30 today when my wife gets done school. And I saw AAA on 6ABC this morning. Worst times to leave between 3 and 6 p.m.
I saw that last night.
Most heavily traveled, you know, day of the year, according to AAA. And I was like, oh, great. The most heavily traveled day, and I'm leaving right at the exact worst time. Can't wait.
Maybe everyone else saw that report and won't go at that time.
My hope in talking to her last night, I was like, well, so many people work from home and remotely now. Maybe people are just going down at all different times now.
Yeah, you said that yesterday.
I'm screwed.
You know what, though?
I've accepted it.
There was a lot of traffic yesterday.
My mom and sister went down yesterday.
Yeah, a friend of mine went down last night. So I think you'll be semi-okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, it won't be like the normal, you know, Friday after work.
Got to deal with all those Jersey drivers.
Hey, easy.
Well, then don't go to Jersey. Go to your Pennsylvania beach.
Well, then don't come to Pennsylvania to work.
I'm sorry, you don't have
one. Don't come to Philadelphia to cover our sports teams.
Hey, guess what? This next Friday, week from today, we're going to have our open house. That's right. If you want to be a part of our first Friday show next Friday, all you have to do is go to 975thefanatic.com and register yourself and a guest to be a part of our live studio audience. It's so much fun. We're going to have guests in, call-ins. We'll have some food. It's just a great day. I love our first Fridays. If you haven't come to see the show, come on out. Maybe you're going down the shore on Friday night, take the day off, whatever. Come on over, see the show first, and then head on down the shore. We have a lot of fun with it, and you will also. All right, when we get back, a lot more to talk about. My angst is up with the Phillies from last night, specifically on one person. Connor has some things that he needs to get off of his chest. All that and more here on the John Kincaid Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I was going to let that play out, but that's pretty good. John Kincaid Show here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Happy start to the summer today. Love it. Favorite day, one of my favorite days of the year. Can't say favorite, but I absolutely love today. All you that are going down the shore, wherever you may be going, please be careful. Drive safely. Be considerate of others. All of that fun stuff, because you're not going to have any fun if you have trouble on the roads getting to where you want to go.
My buddy's wife, he has dash cams.
Uh-huh.
He's had them for a while now. His wife witnessed a road rage incident the other day.
Oh, my God.
Where a guy got out of the car at a stop sign, came up with a baseball bat, and smashed the rearview mirror off the car in front of him. Got back in his car and drove away. And my buddy has it all on film. I can show it to you during the next break.
So our son Bobby got that for each one of our cars for Christmas.
Yeah, he loves it. Because he was in an accident that wasn't his fault not that long ago. And boom, there's no, you know what I mean? There's no insurance disputes. It's just... Here's what happened. This person drifted into me.
So what do you do with that?
You send it to your insurance company.
No. If you're an innocent bystander
He submitted it to police. And,
oh, he did.
And is helping the victim, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And there's a clear shot of the guy's face. He doesn't get his license plate, but you can see his face.
Wow. Would you turn it in, Connor?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah, what do you, I mean.
Yeah.
All right. What's there to lose?
I'm good with it.
It's one thing to like narc on someone that's like none of your business. When you see a dude pull a baseball bat in traffic and smash someone's window, it's like, if that was me, I'd want somebody to submit evidence that they have
totally.
So I could get that taken care of. So, yeah, that's enough of an issue that I'd be fine sending that in.
Did Connor just have the best self-deprecating line during our break
it was pretty
that
good.
You ever heard? I'm telling the story. I don't care if you get mad or not.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
So Connor comes into our studio and Jamie says, hey, how the prospects going? You know, we all know Connor's a single man and, you know, looking for love like a lot of people. So so Jamie asks that question and he's, and his response was, well, it's a little tough now. And Jamie says, why? Connor, give us your answer on that one.
Well, it's easier to convince girls to make a bad decision when their home life is more settled. And right now, they're in between shore houses or staying in the city, going back home for a little bit, start of the summer. Maybe they got a barbecue going on. You got to let them get settled for the summer.
So I say to Connor, I go, so wait, you're just determining that yourself is a bad decision? He goes, oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
For sure. You met me, right?
That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm proud of you. Nice little self-deprecation moment there.
If you're a young lady listening, this is all just kidding. It's just radio stuff. Great decision. I'll buy you some pasta sometime. Who doesn't like pasta?
Maybe
some Alfredo? Some penne alla vodka?
I don't think there's anybody that like... So last night we went to a place... we went to buy some plants for the backyard. And right around the corner there's a... I think you've been there. It's called Arnie's. Have you been there in your South Jersey travel where it's got all this meat and pasta? It's all fresh. Anyway, it's a great place to go. And they have pre-made dinners. So we were going there, and I said, oh, let me grab some lobster ravioli. And my wife, who is 1,000% Italian, is like, she does not like the lobster ravioli. She doesn't like lobster ravioli. And I'm like, how can you not like that?
What? Does she like lobster?
I don't think I've ever seen her eat lobster, to tell you the truth.
Huh.
I assume who doesn't like lobster?
Maybe Donna.
I like crab better than lobster, personally.
I think if you don't have butter, lobster's kind of overrated.
They used to be prison food back in the day.
I remember you telling this story before. It's because wild. Why?
It was considered like a poor man's, like, you know, food.
Wow, how times have changed.
I know, right? Yeah. But it is a little tough. Lobster's not my favorite. Crab's better. That's my hot take for the day.
I'm not disputing that. You can eat crab, and if you ever saw me crack a crab and eat crabs, you'd be like, you're a lunatic. You will not find a strand of crab meat after I'm done picking through a crab.
Yeah, I'm pretty good too.
Nah, I don't crack the crab. That goes in the same category as bone-in wings. Make my food easier to eat. Crab cake, great. Cream of crab soup, perfect.
Picking a crab and
hard. You prick your fingers sometimes. No, I'm
that's right. You earn your food.
I could sit at a table. I'm not kidding you. For 6 to 8 hours, eat crabs and drink beer.
Absolutely.
My ancestors earned their food a billion years ago, so I don't have to anymore. I'm good on that.
You don't know what you're missing.
My favorite night when we go to the Outer Banks every year is just getting the bushel of crabs and sitting on the deck with the. You know, the garbage can right next to you and the newspaper down on the table. And
so my brother-in-law just retired, and they live down in Maryland with my sister, and he just bought a boat.
Nice.
And so he's just like, dude, if you want to come down every weekend, we'll go crabbing. And he does the serious crabbing that I told you about before with the trot line and all that stuff. So I can't wait to do that a lot this summer. All right, Connor's got something on his mind that's interesting, and it's about somebody carrying this Phillies team.
Yeah, so the Bryce Harper dynamic is very interesting to me this year because it feels like he's kind of gotten this free pass, and not undeservedly, but when he came back so early from Tommy John, we were so excited. We're like, man, this guy's superhuman. He comes back. He's playing incredibly well. It's nothing about his performance. Had a monster home run last night. I think he was 3 for 4 in the game. Like, he's been awesome, but the team isn't playing well, and there's no doubt that, like, this is his team. You could say, oh, Kyle Schwarber's the emotional leader in the clubhouse. Oh, J.T. Realmuto does this stuff defensively. Trey Turner's supposed to be this guy. No, it starts and ends with Bryce Harper. It always has. So when you look at that, what is the mentality with him if this team, let's go ahead and say it's June, and they're still struggling like this, and they're like 5-6 games under 500. Is there going to be a point this year where you look at Bryce Harper and say, okay, I know you've been good, but we need you to be incredible and carry this team? Or is this a year? Has Bryce Harper earned a year of not being held responsible for the team's success?
Kinda.
If they need Bryce Harper to carry them, they're in a lot of trouble.
Well,
This lineup isn't built that one person has to carry them.
Yeah.
In the Trey Turner's Real Muto, Castellanos, Schwarbers, all of them. If you need one guy carrying, now, if he gets hot and is the leader of the, you know, of the brigade or whatever, that's fine. But if you need him to carry you or any one person to carry you, this team's in a boatload of trouble.
Well, right now, they're in a little bit of trouble. It's early, but they're in some kind of trouble. But I look at a team like Atlanta that you just played, and you're going to see three more times. Yeah, their lineup's incredible, and other guys are hitting at points. But what Ronald Acuna is doing, like, is otherworldly. He's not, I wouldn't say he's not carrying them, but he's playing out of his mind right now. Like, if Bryce Harper, if we get to the end of the year and he doesn't have one of those Bryce Harper stretches where he hits like six home runs in 12 games and bats like .450 in that stretch and wins a couple ball games for them, like has a Bryce Harper level heat check, are we going to look back and fault him at all? Or is this, because Jamie said he might have earned it. Like, yeah, he's earned it. Is this just a free year from him away from criticism?
I kind of feel like it is.
Is that fair? Like, are we selling ourselves short by giving him that pass? Not that he hasn't earned it, but, like, this team's expectations are higher than, okay, well, you're four games below 500 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. Coming back how early as he did, I don't look to him as, I don't think I will look to him as an issue. I also, he's proven that he's a gamer. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to do whatever the hell he needs to do to be on that field. And, like, to me, that's all I really want out of my athletes. It is that really just tough, I'm willing to do whatever attitude. And he's proven that over his first, is this his fourth year?
Yes.
Yeah, wow, it's his fourth year already. So in the previous 3 years, he's shown me that, and no more so than coming back from this surgery. So, yeah, like, I'm not going to roast him at all this year. And so, I don't know if it's fair or not, but that's how I feel.
I'm on board with you, to tell you the truth. 75 at-bats this year, hitting .347, already has 26 hits. You know, the three homers, seven RBI aren't there yet. But anything you're expecting out of him this early is probably overstated.
So in previous years, before they broke that playoff drought and everything, a lot of this was looking at Bryce Harper. People talked about the contract. People talked about the production and everything like that, and say, hey, at some point, he's got to be the leader that leads this team back to the playoffs. And it was on other guys as well, but he's the face of the franchise right now, so it was on him. Is it the injury and the fact that he came back early from that and we're already getting bonus baseball out of Bryce Harper, or is it what he did last year in the postseason? Is it a combination? Like, has he
reached a combination?
So he's reached the status in the city where it's just like Bryce Harper can do no wrong.
Kinda, to me.
4 years in, with that much longer to go, does that seem problematic to you guys?
No, because I don't question him.
Okay.
I think he's proven, you know, actions speak louder than words, and his actions have been, I'll do anything for this organization.
And in baseball,
he's really good.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Unlike basketball, football, whatever, baseball's so individualistic. So to ask him to, Joel Embiid, why isn't the team winning when you're so good? Legitimate question. You can't look at Bryce Harper hitting, say, you know, 30 home runs, 110 RBIs, 300 on a season. You can't look at him and say, well, why isn't everybody else sitting around you? It's individualistic. So I don't think he warrants. In all honesty, you bring up a good point, Connor. In 4 years, I have no problems with him at all. No question marks.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And that's
nothing
very anti-Philadelphia, right? Think about the other great athletes in the city right now. There are people who still have questions about Joel Embiid, rightfully so, after this. I mean, even Jalen Hurts, there are way less detractors. Right. There are still people out there.
I think the World Series trip calmed a lot of those. Like, for me, he got the team to where, like, he was a major reason why they got there. I know they didn't win, but they were up against a great team, and they should be back at some point again. He's already gotten them to the finish line, so, like, that kind of eases. Like, that's a factor, and a contributing factor as well.
And if you think of the athletes through the years in Philly, and Connor, you're younger than us, so.
He reminds me of an Utley status.
Okay, that's exactly what my point was going to be. If you're going to go through guys that you say, oh, they kind of got a free pass in this city, I'll bet you the majority would be baseball players because of what I said. It's an individual sport.
Yeah, you know what? When I think about the guys, I mean, Utley. Now, Jimmy didn't totally get it because the fans still got on Jimmy for the not hustling thing.
Oh, and Howard is one of the most disrespected athletes of recent memory.
Absolutely. So I don't know. It's weird. It's like a pick and choose thing. But it's very rare in Philadelphia to have an athlete that wins over the city in totality. There are guys where we're like, we love this guy. And then you have a playoff disappointment and all of a sudden Joel Embiid, people want him out of town. And Bryce Harper, it literally feels like whatever you get out of him is bonus. There's nothing the guy could do wrong. And he's earned that. He's playing incredibly well. It's just very interesting to me the status he's ascended to in the city in a short period of time.
Well, he's an MVP. We're pretty simple people. Play your ass off. Be good.
Are we, though? We have an MVP on another team in this city. And,
well,
and
but the last thing I was about to say was lead your team to championship levels.
All right. My fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were right there.
I mean, when you think about Utley and Rollins and Howard, they, you know, Jimmy would occasionally, you know, not bust his ass down to first base. But, you know, Ryan Howard, you believed in him all the time until he got hurt and things changed and he couldn't hit, you know, low and outside stuff. But for the most part, you know, he didn't really get it too bad. It was more like post-career with him that the Boo Birds and stuff started to come out. During that 5-6 year window, nobody questioned anything about Ryan Howard.
Who's your favorite ever baseball player to watch in Philadelphia?
Ryan Howard's damn close.
I was thinking that. When
he was always my favorite of the three.
Connor, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, you're good. Roy Halladay, not even close.
But that's every 5 days. Like, I loved him.
Great every 5 days.
When Ryan Howard was in that 5-year stretch.
That's what made me think asking you that question.
He was I would plan my nights around when he was going to be up in the order.
It was a nightly thing. Howard's up. That's all it was.
And I'd be like, okay, up, 6, 7, 8, 9's coming up. I can go do something real quick, and I'll be back by the top of the order.
Right. Yeah. Like, our son Bobby loves baseball, so he would always have Phillies games on. If he just so happened to have to go somewhere or I went somewhere, it was always Howard's up. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, I mean, he was hitting, 56 home runs?
130 RBIs.
Yeah, he was a machine.
Normal fly balls to what seemed off the bat to us watching a game. We're landing 10, 11 rows deep.
But Harper's close.
Yeah, especially when he gets going. Yeah,
like I kind of base my viewing, if I can, around him.
He had a single the other night. It was such a silly thing, but the way I watch sports. He had a single the other night that was one of the sweetest swings.
Gets the Diamondbacks to right field.
Right?
Yeah.
Just a line drive between first and second. Like, one of the sweetest swings you'll ever see.
Yeah. And so did Howard. I mean, it's interesting. They're not totally comparable players because I think Bryce is the more complete hitter.
Well, like, Howard was a power guy first and foremost.
Yeah, but just something about that sweet lefty swing and a guy that consistently produces.
Swing, yeah.
It is. Righties got screwed over. Something genetically. Yeah, I don't know who invented the game. I don't know if Abner Doubleday is a lefty.
Cooler.
It looks way cooler.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. And I can admit it, he was a rival growing up, but I was obsessed with David Justice's swing.
Oh, that's a good one.
Great swing.
I just thought that was so pretty. Him and the kid. And I switch hit in Little League. Because
he's an all-star too, Jamie was.
Because the lefty swing is so much cooler looking.
Were you able to pull off a cool looking left-handed swing?
I wasn't nearly as good, but I was competent.
Were you really?
Yeah.
I could never hit left-handed.
Yeah, but it was because left-handed batters look so cool.
What's the sweetest swinging right-handed hitter you've ever seen?
Oof. Ooh. It's a tough call.
I've never thought of that question. It just popped into my head.
Stance or swing? Gary Sheffield comes to mind.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Pujols. Pujols is going to go down as one of the most underrated of all time. Because the average he hit for
over 600 doubles, over 600 home runs.
He won't. He is now because he just went through that twilight where the zombie of Albert Pujols played besides the last 2 months when they were juicing the baseball.
I don't know.
St. Louis.
You never hear people say that was the Albert Pujols generation.
You could do that trivia question all the time. Who has over 600 doubles and 600 home runs?
Albert Pujols.
Hardly anyone comes up with Albert Pujols, though. Because I told you.
He's a career 296 hitter. Career.
Mike Trout has a pretty sweet swing.
In his prime. Listen to Albert Pujols'
compact
batting average to start his career. 329, 314, 359, 331, 330, 330, 327, 357, 327, 312. And then he kind of dropped below 300.
Then he really started hitting bombs because he wasn't hitting for average anymore.
Well, no, his home runs during that period was 37, 34, 43, 46, 41, 49, 32, 37, 47, 42. The man's a freak.
Absolute freak.
Some might say a machine.
I think Jamie's right that he's kind of underrated.
Yeah, I think totally.
I mean, his career is totally in mine and Jamie's wheelhouse. Part of the
700 home runs.
You. 700.
No, that was my favorite non-Philly athlete growing up, was really? Albert Pujols. I'll tell you, I think people just had Pujols fatigue because of how the league treated him his last couple years in. And when he comes back around and he's up for election.
He's in the first ballot, all that.
Yeah, but no doubt. I think he's going to get the total respect he deserves. I think people just got tired
like
of him.
Like in 30 years, if people say, like, who was the greatest player of, like, 2000 to 2020, like, I don't think his name's going to be on the forefront of people's minds.
I think it'll be him and Cabrera will be up there. I think it'll be those two guys.
Maybe Connor's more in tune than
maybe.
We are because
I feel like he's forgotten about in a way.
I always thought he was underrated.
Huh. I don't know. I never felt that.
700th home run, I thought it.
I love the guy. So it could just be a personal thing for me.
I miss those hitters. I miss those 330 hitters, those Wade Bonds, those Albert Pujols.
So he finished
every year.
MVP. His second year in the league, he finished second. Third year in the league, finished second. Fourth year in the league, finished third. Then he won an MVP. Then he finished second again. Then there was a bad year, bad in quotes. Then he won it. Then he won it. Then he finished in second. And then he finished in fifth.
He's a three-time MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Dude.
And finished second one, two, three, four times. That's insane.
He might be one of the most underrated players in any sport of mine and yours.
I think so, too.
Wow. Hey, you want to win a barbecue and bourbon tasting for you and five friends?
Absolutely.
At Deke's Barbecue in Germantown?
Yes.
All you have to do is visit the contest page on 975thefanatic.com. Deke's Barbecue. Order today for your graduation party or Memorial Day weekend catering or just for the hell of it because Deke's is awesome. Absolutely awesome. They were in here a few weeks ago for our open house.
Delicious.
God, that was delicious.
I drove by Deke's on the way to the golf course yesterday, and my mouth started watering, and I was like, oh, I kind of want to pull in, but it's too early to go ahead. It was like, I don't know. It's never too early, but it's too early for me.
I had to go, I think I told you guys, I had to go see my niece up at LaSalle. So I left here and went by on my way back home, and same thing. It was like 11:30 in the morning, and I was thinking about it, but oh, my God. You can smell it from the street.
Well, you can. Rub it in one time.
Smell.
All right, great.
I can't imagine that doesn't affect your taste buds.
It probably does, but I wouldn't know the difference. It's the same way, like, my whole life.
So, all right, so if I gave you two plates, one was, like, beef brisket and one was, I don't know, some other kind of meat, could you tell the difference just because of texture? Or?
Yeah, I could.
What kind of other meat are we talking about?
I was thinking, like,
is it a stinky meat?
Porterhouse.
Yeah?
Yeah, uh-huh. I could tell the difference.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I could taste different things. It might be like slightly skewed from how you guys taste them, but like I don't know. Everything
you have nothing
tastes
to compare it to.
No, exactly.
Exactly. Huh. All right. Are you beachbound vacations? What is it about the beach that draws us in? At Beachbound Vacations, they can't answer that, but they can get you there in style with top resorts, ocean view rooms, and luxury transportation. Book your getaway beachbound. com.
Vinny Gallo tweets in, sweetest right-handed swing ever, Manny Ramirez. Thing of perfection.
Oh, that's really good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Because, I mean, think about
I always liked Manny.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he was a Red Sox.
I was thinking about this the other day when I asked the question on air about what was an ear or what was a team that you liked watching, non-Philly team.
I kind of liked that Red Sox team because they were lovable losers up until that point.
I think Boston,
maybe not lovable,
the Boston,
but they were
Red
losers.
Sox, I think, has always been my favorite
Fenway's,
League team.
Fenway's cool.
Fenway was always a cool place, even to this day when a game's on. If there's a Saturday afternoon game on and it's at Fenway, I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Phillies never really play them, so you don't have to run into that trouble all that often.
Yeah. The Yankee-Red Sox rivalry there, like, carried baseball. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. Now, I have family down in Baltimore, so ever since I was a little kid, I used to go to Orioles games when it was in Memorial Park, you know, way back then.
Did you see the thing they have going on down there now? The splash zone?
What?
No, I didn't see that at all. One of the sections, I think in the outfield, anytime there's, like, a home run, these, like, water guns go off, and they, like, soak the section.
Nope, don't need that.
So you need to, like, agree to it? obviously, if you're going to sit there. But I think it's called the splash zone.
Is anybody looking to get soaked?
iPhones are waterproof.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, don't splash me in a baseball game.
Well, then don't sit in the splash zone, bro.
What is this, SeaWorld now? It's an Orioles game. What are we doing here? Don't need a splash zone. We already got pools in the outfield out in Arizona. Splash zone.
But Canada's cool. Like, I don't mind the Orioles. They have great uniforms, cool hats.
Yeah. You know, Camden Yards, when it first opened, was so cool. It was different.
Yeah, it was.
All that. I went there a couple summers ago. To me, it kind of...
Well, the team sucks. Now they're kind of resurging.
They're resurging now. Yeah. Nice young team that they have going on
there. Some
good
young players, yeah.
Yeah, and people down in Baltimore are really into their baseball.
Sure.
So, I hope it comes back for them.
Home of Babe Ruth.
That's right.
Right down the road.
Yeah, so my brother-in-law used to be baseball coach and athletic director before he finished up at this place, Calvert Hall, at this place, Cardinal Gibbons.
What do you say, Cardinals?
And it's where he went to high school, and that was built on the place where Babe Ruth was held juvenile.
Yeah.
Like, right? He had some troubles as a juvenile.
Wasn't he an orphan or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, the house.
I remember
some movie that was in black and white where he was like in the kid's like orphanage or...
Oh, yeah, and he's talking to him. Like,
yeah, what movie was that?
Was it a movie or was it just kind of one of those, and Babe Ruth talked to the kids today?
Yeah.
It was on This Week in Baseball with Mel Allen?
I guess.
That might be before your time, too.
I know the name.
Yeah. When I was a kid on Saturdays, all this and more on This Week in Baseball. It was like a half hour of must-see TV because we couldn't see all national games and stuff when I was little.
That's
because we didn't have TVs. We only had radios, yeah. When we get back, Jamie got surprised by something of one of the Phillies players. We'll see if you have, too. Also, listen, holiday weekend, we're having a lot of fun here. Give us a call. Let us know what you're up to this weekend, some of your more fun things that you like to do during the summer. 610-632-0975. This is the John Kincaid Show.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Kincaid Show, happy Friday, everybody. My wife sends that to me every Friday. Is that weird?
Yeah.
She sends the happy Friday emoji.
Not from Donna. That's a very mom thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind it. It makes me think, oh, good, she's in a good mood waking up this morning. So.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to have a happy Friday's wife, happy life.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah. What's your favorite Friday thing to do, Jamie, in general?
Order pizza.
It's so weird. I think maybe I told you this before. It used to be for me ordering the pizza, going to pick it up at the time when you and Devon were on doing that show on Friday nights that you guys used to do.
Yeah, the draft lines.
And that was the start of my weekend. Kind of the official start of my weekend when I would be going to get the pizza and I heard you two on air.
Oh.
That would excite me to no end.
Yeah, the 2-3 o'clock beer. With my previous hours and still kind of current hours. It's nice. Go out in the backyard with the girls.
3 o'clock, so 2 or 3 o'clock, it's a little early.
No, it is not.
No, it's a great time.
It's late, if anything.
No, I'm more if I'm going to dip on a Friday, it's probably 4 to 4:30. I try to keep myself busy until then. Now, today might be hard because I was telling Jamie Connor, I'm so excited for this weekend. My wife was like, you're a mad dog today. What's up with you? Because I wanted to get everything in line to go. Even to the point of last night when the Phillies came on and she thought I was winding down because I was doing all yard work and stuff like that. That I said, I'm going downstairs to clean. And she's like, what is wrong with you? I said, I want everything perfect for this weekend because we're hanging at home. So if our daughter has some friends over, whatever, and they might go swimming or hang by the pool, they can also sit downstairs and relax. So I like mopped and vacuumed and, you know, did all this stuff, folded, wash and all that. I don't know. I love this weekend. It
yeah.
might be my my most fun totality weekend that there is.
I mean, it's definitely up there. And if you've put in all that work, I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'll come swim. Appreciate it.
All right, Philly 9 on the YouTube says, I'm a freak when it comes to my beer rules. I don't have many. I don't drink on a plane.
What are his beer rules?
That's my beer rules, he says.
Okay.
I've stated some of them. I don't drink on a plane.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, because most of the time I was working, and even now when I go, I just, no, I don't like to drink on a plane.
You're not working from the plane to the hotel.
No, but like a lot of times I'd be writing stories where I had to go.
Can't write with beer?
Write drunk, edit sober. Ernest Hemingway.
I believe me. I don't know. What other beer rules? Do you have any beer rules?
Nope.
I don't really drink beer on the weekdays unless it's a special, you know, like if you have to go out
like
somewhere.
Like Tuesday, happy hour at PJ's and Blue Bow?
Yeah, that's a special occasion. Yeah, that's an asterisk on the week.
Yeah.
You're like a gremlin. You got all these rules. Like,
yeah, I don't really have any
after
rules.
Midnight. Just drink the beer.
I texted my buddy yesterday.
When I want a beer, I drink a beer.
I texted my buddy Joey Merton yesterday, and I said, I have a serious dilemma here. And so he calls me right afterwards. He goes, what, you're deciding what beer to crack open right now? And I said, no, but I was deciding on the kegerator whether to put it at 39. It keeps fluctuating between 39 and 42. And he told me that 39 is better because he likes ice cold beers and he might be coming over this weekend to have some. So yeah.
Always go colder.
Yeah. Somebody on here just said Gabby Menendez.
What do you say, Gabby?
Bob sounds like he started to drink already.
You've mispronounced a bunch of words today.
I have a little bit of a blub mouth today.
Yeah.
Some people would call it a drunken slur, but we're not going to go ahead and say that.
Nah, let's not go there because that's not what it is. What's your first memory of the Jersey Shore? Now, Jamie, when you were a little kid, did you guys go down there a lot?
Yeah. My grandmom used to rent a place for the summer back when that was actually, like, affordable.
Oh, is that right? Where? In Ocean City?
She would kind of change between Stone Harbor and Avalon. My mom and aunt and their mother, like, the shore is there. They used to do full summers, but never owned. Like, that was actually feasible back in the day.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So she would get a big enough house that, you know, you could crash?
Yeah, basically. I used to say as a kid all the time, I don't care if I'm in a cardboard box down here. Just, you know, give me some place with a little shelter over my head and I'm good. But yeah, it would be the...
Did you ever sleep in a cardboard box?
No. The four grandkids, you know, the two couples, my mom and her sister and husbands, and then my grandma. So we used to just spend a lot of time down the shore. Favorite memories?
Or first.
First?
Favorite or first? Because I have a specific first.
I used to love cruising 96th Street as a little punk-ass 7th to, like, high schooler. Arcade, you know, fart bags in stores.
What?
Yeah, they used to sell those little fart bags that you would, like pop.
A whoopee cushion?
No. It would smell. They're kind of like, they're not stink bombs, but they were more like plastic bags that you would pop.
Reusable?
No. You just, like, stash one in a corner somewhere, leave. And it would stink the place up.
I wasn't the target demographic for that one. So
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, fart bags. They were great. So we used to, like, hit the stores with those and just, you know, run around being pesky little kids, go in the CD store, go get a slice of pizza, try to kiss a girl under the boardwalk, you know, that type of stuff. That was just great.
That was just great. So you got rid of the fart bag before you're kissing the girl underneath the boardwalk,
yeah, obviously.
I'm assuming, yeah.
You got to find the girl that's into the you dropping fart bags in stores.
He's a watching boy.
Watching the hilarity of people being like, what the hell is that?
That is such a Jamie thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised you haven't done it here a few times.
Yeah. Well,
you're busy doing it, so he'd give you your space.
We don't need fart bags up in here, bub.
How about you, Connor? Any first memories or lasting memories of the shore when you were a kid?
Yeah, when I was young, we'd go down to Florida. So it wasn't the Jersey Shore, but my dad's family's from down there. So we'd go to Tampa, like Clearwater Beach. And go down there. So I remember seeing dolphins and stuff down there. There's like a pirate ship that used to sail around that we used to see that we think was real pirates because I was like six.
Oh, and miniature golf, too. I can't forget miniature golf.
For sure. But
because your pirate talk made me think of Pirate Island.
Yeah, the one lasting memory is in high school, we took one of my buddies and we buried him in the sand because sometimes you just bury your buddies in the sand.
Absolutely.
Inconspicuous. Then we took the bag of chips that we had bought from the Wawa and poured it all over him. and the seagulls just attacked the kid. And he couldn't get out because we buried him under good. So he's in there screaming. Like, the chips are on his chest.
That's actually brutal.
And he's, like, trying to, like, blow air on him to get him to fly away or whatever. And he was trying to wriggle out. He got a toe loose. We're like, dude, they're going to think it's a worm. Stop moving your toe. So he freaked out. He didn't talk to us for, like, the next 6 hours. He actually was my ride to the beach, and he got up and drove and left me there. So we had to wait for him to come back. But yeah, that was a good one.
So we didn't go to the beach a lot when I was a kid, like hardly ever. But I was about 11 or 12. It might have been my first time down the beach. And we go down to my parents had friends down there or whatever. And so I'm walking around by myself, and I couldn't get over the fact that you could look at the end of a street and there was nothing there. Because it was, you know, looked out to the ocean, so there was, like, nothing there. And that freaked me out. Then I saw a sign on like, a telephone pole or whatever that said Phillies tryouts. And it was for guys that played American Legion ball and stuff like that. I'm, like, 11, 12 years old. I run back to the house, and I brought my baseball glove. I grab my glove. I run to the field where it is.
Oh, yeah, you, like, tried out, dude.
Yeah, and I was, like, guy comes over to me. He's, like, hey, how you doing? I said, good. He's, like, what are you looking for? Do you, you know, he thought I was a little leaguer. Do you have a game here today or something? I said, no, don't they have Phillies tryouts today? The look on the guy's face, he wanted to laugh so hard, but God bless him. I had no idea who it was. And he was like, oh, sorry, buddy. Yeah, but you're going to have to come back in a couple of years. This is for older kids and stuff. I must have had a look of disappointment and embarrassment on my face because this guy, I could, like, he wanted to buy me ice cream or something. He felt so bad for me. I just kind of turned around and did a walk of shame if I could have done that as a 12-year-old. But, yeah, that's my first memory of the shore. Well, not a great one.
Well, luckily for me, Lord Bezos and Amazon still carry the fart bag. So I just showed you.
$12.99
for a pack.
The YouTube chat's saying it's illegal now.
Fart bags?
Yeah.
How can they be illegal?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
It's a fart bag.
I don't know. I didn't make
the
law.
Does it have something in it that might be harmful to your health?
Do I look like a senator to you?
I don't know. It has a 4-star rating on Amazon. Can't be that bad.
Yeah, JJ Betts on the YouTube page. He says it's illegal now, Jamie.
Lawyered.
Look up the news article on the fart bags.
Really?
Wow.
What a world we live in. Fart bags are illegal now?
Wow. So is drinking on the beach. We're going to do that anyway. You might as well hit the fart bag, too.
True.
You know where
we're not
going
to drink on the beach.
You know where you can drink?
Where at?
PJ Wellahan's.
Oh.
That's right. The weather's getting warmer, so cool off with an ice-cold draft at happy hour prices at PJ's. Plus, $5 wings. Every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., gotta love your local PJ's. And we're going to be at a local PJ on Tuesday. Coach, what are we 4 to 6?
Yeah.
4 to 6 happy hour. Coach, you going to go?
We'll see.
Oh, God, never mind. 4 to 6 on Tuesday at Bluebell PJs.
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah, Gina from sales is going to be there with us because that's her local PJs.
It's currently my hometown PJs until the Conchi one opens, then I'll be closer to that one.
How far are you from the Bluebell one now?
22 minutes, something like that.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, not at all. But Conchi will be like 15.
I just can't imagine not having 3 PJs within 10 minutes of your house like I do.
Well, you know, we can't all be New Jerseyites, Bob.
Well, you know, I know you want to be.
Well, they have to put so many in condensed areas over there because of all the stupid jug handles. It's just good to, you know, there's always one around. So no matter where you get turned around in the stupid road systems of New Jersey.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it like having to get out of your car and pump your own gas?
I really much enjoy it. Do you? I don't have to wait on anyone.
Even the dangerous times of the that we're in right now?
Dangerous?
You don't think it's dangerous times? You're running low on gas at nighttime? Aren't you a little nervous getting out of your car?
No.
Most gas stations have lights, Bob.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of. I think it's pretty cool to just go
up. I was in D.C. during
hand a card and say 20 regular, please.
I was in D.C. during the sniper. You want to talk about scary times going to the gas station?
Yeah, with that size of a melon too, you're a target.
Oof, man, that was sketchy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah, and it was a couple of the.
Hey, you were in college then?
Yeah, it was happening in D.C.
It didn't seem like it was all that long ago to me.
Yeah, it was a long time ago now.
Wow. Huh.
So no, I'm not scared of the gas station anymore. I lived through the sniper. I can handle a late night gas stop.
I lived through the sniper. That's
it was wild, man. Like his DC, it was like, whew.
And what was it, a father and son type of thing?
Where I don't know if it was a son or like a fake father type of role, but it might have been father
in the
and
back
son.
Of
yeah,
his
he was
trunk.
Laying in the back of his trunk, and he had a cutout the side of the the car. Absolutely wild.
Yeah, just horrible. In the linchpin, Jamie had that big head of his mind blown recently about something.
This is the linchpin.
It was just last night. I saw Corey Seidman from NBC Sports Philly tweet out that Alec Bohm is third in the National League in RBIs.
Really?
Right?
Really?
Yeah.
No, if you would have asked me what Philly's in the top five in RBI,
right?
I don't know if Alec Bohm's name would have come up.
I know.
Second or third guess.
So Alec Bohm's driven in 37 runs. Corey tweeted out this right after his home run. Third most in the National League behind Pete Alonso and Nolan Gorman. I had no idea. And it just made me think about what a mind pretzel this team is. Because when you looked at Jose Alvarado, he was like the best reliever in baseball. Bryson Stott's been awesome. Brandon Marsh has been really good, considering you didn't really know what you were, in terms of what you
expected.
Were hoping. Yeah, like
right.
Expectation versus, you know, your hopes. Bryce Harper has come back early. You know, you've gotten really good performances from your non-star contributors. And then the star contributors are all kind of going the wrong way in Turner and Schwarber and Wheeler and Nola. And
yeah, you're right.
You lost Reese. So it's like you're getting the great contributions from the people you're not supposed to count on, i.e. Alec Bohm, Bryson Stott, Jose Alvarado, even, you know, Soto and Kimbrel have been really good and, for the most part. And then your star players are going the opposite way. And what do you do when one goes up and one goes down? You make a pretzel. And that's what it's done to my brain.
That's a big pretzel.
I just don't know how to feel about this team because my gut keeps saying, okay, well, you're getting the contributions from the people you need to be, like, great. But then you're not getting the contributions from the people you expect to be great. So does that mean the people we expect to be great will be great and you'll still get the contributions from these under, you know, the non-stars? Because that means you have a chance to be great, great. But if the great players continue down this path,
then you're just a good great.
Then
or
you're
you
just
could be bad.
Then you're just like a 500 team.
I'm really nervous that I've really started to feel this way lately, and I think I brought it up to you, Connor, maybe at the beginning of the week, that I'm wondering if this is
who
just
they are
the 500 team this year.
This year,
this year
they've given you no reason to,
and it's the way they go about it. 5 in a row wins, 6 in a row losses, 12-2 win. 10-2 loss the next day. It's just the up and down nature of this team has me really nervous, Connor, thinking this just may be a 500 team this season.
I don't think they're a 500 team. And I'll tell you why. And part of it's the RBI thing, right? So one of the things I look at when I say how is an offense performing is how your top RBI guy stacks up around baseball. Now, there are some teams where it's weird where you'll get like a Pete Alonso guy, and the Mets are good, but the guy is just going to hit 40 home runs every year. He's going to be an RBI machine. But most of the time, if you see a guy like Alec Bohm that high in RBIs, it means your offense is producing runs. They're doing some things right.
Yes, they are.
The issue and why Jamie's brain is in a pretzel is
Schwarber and Turner are not.
Monday night, they'll do some things right, and then the pitching will suck. And then they'll get a great start, and they'll get two hit by a guy who's never been in Major League Baseball. And then they'll score 10, and they'll lose 10-11. Like,
you're describing a 500 team to me.
Well,
yeah, kind of.
I'm describing a team that's playing like that right now. But when you look at the ethos of this team, they're not a 500 team. They're just playing like one right now. Baseball, and maybe this is to a fault of mine, but I said it last year. I said it the year before when they didn't make the playoffs. You can look at a roster, and you can say, okay, this looks like a playoff roster. This doesn't look like a playoff roster. This is easily a playoff baseball team when you just look at the names they have.
Absolutely.
And it's a long enough season that I have to believe they're going to come out of it.
I think I'm there, too.
But you don't sound too confident that you're there.
Well, because of...
I guess his brain's in a pretzel.
I guess Wheeler and Nola have me a little bugged out. Is the core of that doubt. I want to believe they're both going to come around consistently. But I haven't seen it yet, and it's Memorial Day now, and it's like, this is time to start to kind of worry a little bit more. But then Alec Bohm has been spectacular. Bryson Stott has been spectacular. Like, you're getting a lot of good contributions from people you didn't expect, and it's just, I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this team on a weekly basis.
57 games, last 57 games, they're 34-33, including playoffs going back last year.
Yikes.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know how that's possible when you look at this lineup. Like, it's a borderline all-star caliber
lineup. Ridiculously crazy good.
Yeah.
And should be able to overcome any kind of pitching deficiencies that they may have, i.e. Wheeler, Nolan not being up to snuff as number ones, number twos, however you want to label them. But Connor, you hit it on the head. The two have not gone hand to hand. When you need pitching because hitting's not happening, you're not getting it. When you get hitting, pitching still is suspect, and it makes a 5-6 run lead.
Right.
An even game sometimes.
But to me, like in football, basketball, hockey, teams that can't get that consistency are 500 teams. To me in baseball, because the length of the season, 500 teams are teams that have one but not the other. The Phillies have both. They just haven't worked out how to do both at the same time, which can be troubling when you consider how successful they were last year and how similar this roster is to last year's. But the fact that they've shown you they can do both should still give you faith that they're capable of putting it together. It's still early. I know that gets annoying around Memorial Day, but still early. And they've proven they can pitch when they need to. They can hit when they need to. They just can't do both consistently together yet. But the fact that they're capable is what I'm holding on to.
They're certainly capable. Capable, yeah. This lineup should be capable of scoring you 5-6 runs a night, almost. I mean, that's how good this lineup is.
Right.
So then you just look at, okay, you only need pitching to be consistent. But there hasn't been. Like you said, it's teetered on good pitching, bad hitting, or good hitting, bad pitching. It's just, that's the seesaw of this season so far.
Yeah, is it a winning lineup? Is the lineup over 500 to you? When you look at those names.
Yes.
Okay, is the rotation better than 500 to you? Just looking at the names.
Should be.
Okay, then they're an over 500 team. That's kind of just how baseball
works.
Or
we're just idiots.
I know. It might burn me bad. It might burn all of us bad. But I think that's how simple how long 162 two-game season plays out. Just teams, when you look at them, the eye test plays more in baseball than any other sport.
So there, I saw or I heard the other day that when Joe Girardi got fired,
which was like coming up pretty soon, right? In like a week or two?
At the same point after 50 games or whatever, the Phillies were two games better than last year. So look at it two ways. Oh, geez, that's it. That got a manager fired last year. Or, yeah, and last year they went to the World Series. They were good enough in the second.
Yeah, but
the second
but
half.
The league kind of stunk last year. Like, you kind of got, I don't want to say lucky getting into the playoffs, but you only got the wild card by a game.
Came down to the last weekend of the season.
And this year, do I think the Diamondbacks will be there at the end? Probably not. But, like, the Pirates are better. The Diamondbacks are better. The Mets are kind of soiling themselves same time as you are. I don't know if you're going to get as lucky again, so you might have to earn it a little bit more. I don't know. It's just, you're like seven games out of the wild card already.
No, yeah. they're one and a half.
No, they're like what? Four back, I think.
Wow, they were six. They were six and a half.
I thought McCarthy said last night that they're one and a half back of a wild card.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
They're well under 500.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Just give me a sec. But it's not good. It's not where you want to be at Memorial Day.
So no, not even a little bit. I don't think. That game frustrated me last night. I'm going to have more on it in the next segment, but.
Two and a half back of the wild card.
Okay, right, so they're closer than we thought.
Arizona, Pittsburgh, Mets currently have the wild card.
Pittsburgh.
You know what I mean?
They won't be there end of the year.
I don't think so.
Too young. Talented, but too young.
But their run differential is plus 15, plus 13 for those two teams. Philly's run differential is minus 34.
Yeah. When the Phillies get beat, they get beat bad.
Somebody on here said, to be fair, the Pirates have outscored the Phillies by two runs this year?
Well, their run differential is plus 13. Phillies are minus 34, so yeah, probably.
I mean,
San Francisco, when we talked about them going to San Francisco a couple weeks ago, we went, oh, they stink. Their best player is Michael Conforto.
Right. And he hurt the Phillies again.
Games ahead of the Phillies. So, like, if I was a Giants fan doing Giants sports radio in San Fran and they were heading into Philly, I'd be like, oh, the Phillies stink.
Well,
yeah, by that rationale.
Yeah. I just don't know what this team is right now, and that's why I'm kind of leaning
towards... I don't think they know what they are.
How can you not? And not much change except you brought in the, arguably, the best shortstop in baseball. Yeah, and he went to the World Series last year.
And he's been slump-proof his entire career, and he gets here, and he's in a two-month slump.
Why can't we have nice things, Jamie?
I don't know.
I blame you.
Did you see Trey Turner's mom said she was booing him the other night, too, before his home run?
I love that.
That makes me think this kid's going to be all right.
I think he'll be okay. His reaction in the dugout after he hit the home run, the guys on the TV were even saying, it's okay, smile. Yeah. Smile.
But well, apparently Kevin Long went up to him and was like, come on, dude, smile.
Oh, like, is that right?
Yeah. And you know what else you can smile with, Bob? The Bet Park Sportsbook app. Bet Pro Hoops playoffs on Bet Park's Casino and Sportsbook app. The official sportsbook partner of the real Philly sports fan. Must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You don't have any gambling problems. You're pretty good at it.
No,
there's no problems with you.
Keep it in check.
Yeah, well, coming up here on the John Kincaid Show, we have a not big, Jamie, a huge announcement to make on Tuesday.
We do?
I just wanted to let you know that. On Tuesday, huge announcement. It is so big that Coach is having trouble containing himself in there. So he wants to tell people so badly what it is now, but Coach, we have to wait until Tuesday, all right?
We just do it now.
You want to do it now?
We can do it now.
Go ahead, Coach.
We'll wait till Tuesday.
Are you sure?
Pretty
if you
sure.
want to do it now,
yeah.
do it now.
Yeah, we'll wait till Tuesday.
It'll give the people something fun to talk about this weekend.
Yeah, we'll wait till Tuesday.
All right. Tuesday, huge announcement. Coming up on the show, last night seemed like something to me with that Phillies game. And I want to see if you thought it was obvious to you. Also, Jerry and Mount Laurel, we'll get to you here on the John Kincaid Show at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Sandlot, the ultimate summer movie. Does this song remind you of Sandlot or something else?
Nope, it reminds me of tequila.
Yeah?
Yep.
Sandlot, Jamie?
Yeah, Sandlot.
Yeah, no question about it.
I mean, I grew up loving Pee-wee, too, so.
But, did you really?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think Pee-wee, I was a little too old to. So, what do you have? He had a show, Pee-wee's
Funhouse, right?
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, I never.
Is that what it was called?
I was too
Playhouse
old for that, but I net
Playhouse. Pee-wee's Playhouse, yeah.
Yeah, I was never a Pee-wee guy.
It was 86 was the first season.
Really?
Yeah.
Met him.
Yeah?
You met Pee-wee Herman?
Yeah, so we were staying in a hotel in Santa Monica. Sixers were out there for a game not only against the Lakers, but also the Clippers, so we had time.
What's his name? And Paul something?
Paul Rubens.
Paul Rubens, yeah.
So does he go by Pee-wee when you meet him?
So.
Or is he like, call me Paul?
No, we noticed there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. Like, what the hell is going on here? And they were filming a scene for a Pee-wee movie. I don't know which one it was, but it just so happens he was in the hallway and we were about to walk somewhere and they were telling us you can't walk there. And it was only me and somebody else and I look over and he's standing right there. And I'm like, oh. So I said, hey, how you doing? I just shook his hand or whatever. But
hey, Pee-wee.
Come to find out that I met the wrong celebrity that day.
Who else was there?
Because right behind me, which I didn't know, and somebody was right behind me also, was Steve Van Zandt from the East Street Band.
And you could have said, I'm from New Jersey.
I could have. I could have, but he's from Boston.
Oh, he's from Boston?
Yeah.
I thought he was
Jersey. He was born in Boston, but he did his growing up, you know, his formative years at the Jersey Shore. But so Nick Marchetta, who you know, was behind me. Well, you know of him. He was a producer for the Sixers, was behind me, her director, and he got a picture with Steve Van Zandt and was teasing.
Was he wearing his...
like never goes anywhere without something on his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got Pee-wee Herman, so you're even.
Nah. I wasn't. Oh, nah. Pee-wee didn't do much for me. I got to
think Pee-wee's worth anything these days?
I mean, probably the fact that you know his name and that he had a character, I guess. What do you got? You're looking up his net worth?
Yeah.
I'm all right, don't tell us yet. Net worth, Connor, of Pee-wee Herman.
I mean, there was that the porno theater
incident. Did that boost his?
I don't think so. I'm going to go $7.8 million.
Yeah, I was going to say under $10 million.
All right.
I'll go $9.
According to Celebrity Net Worth, Paul Rubens worth $5 million.
Okay.
So, okay.
Yeah, pretty good guess by Connor.
Not bad. I'm a Pee-wee's man.
What's that?
What?
If you could invite Pee-wee over to a Memorial Day barbecue, would you?
No, I'm good on that.
Okay. Well, what else you got on that?
Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. So I actually wrote some digital content. Pew, 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 pew.
Really, real quick, because I was curious. Steve Van Zandt, take a guess. Net worth.
Oh, dude, $14 million?
No, I'm going to say higher because he had that. Not only was he in The Sopranos, and he's been with the E Street Band. What was the show that he had? I was going to say Amsterdam. But he directed that. Oh, come on. You don't remember the show? I thought for sure you'd get this.
No.
He was in one in where he was like in witness protection in Finland or something.
Yes,
on Netflix.
Yes, but he was like
Lilyhammer.
Lilyhammer. He was like the producer director. He was the executive producer of it.
I'll go to $15 million then.
Fine. I'm going to go higher. I'm going to say like $25 million.
You guys are both way off. According to Celebrity Net Worth, Steve Van Zandt worth $80 million.
Wow.
What?
You got the wrong guy, Bob.
Hey man, Bruce Springsteen money.
Yeah,
fair point. Like when he sells his catalog for $500 million or whatever, I'm sure he cuts a piece off for the band, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, so Stevie Van Zandt, that's a good life right there.
I wonder what Springsteen's probably worth.
Oh, my God.
Probably about
you want me to look it up?
A billion?
More he's than probably, that.
You think probably he's like $700 million or something?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah?
Let's take a look. Bobby.
What does it mean when you're worth
celebrity?
I think that's if you liquefy like your real estate properties and like if I had to get $650 million. For Bruce Celebrity Net Worth.
Not bad.
That's why they call him the king.
No, they don't.
And Patti Smith worth $4 million. So technically, isn't that his wife?
No, her name's Patti Scalfa.
Oh.
And she came from serious money when she was a kid.
Oh, really?
Patti Scalfa came from some serious, serious money.
She was on the other side of the tracks.
Yeah, she wasn't humming and
he wasn't down
like
by
him.
The docks with Bruce.
She wasn't sleeping in cardboard boxes, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, Jerry and Mount Laurel, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
Bobby C and the bro, what's happening?
Hey, how you feeling,
what's
up, buddy? Jerry?
Nothing much. Driving into the city, this is fun. I never do that. Now that I'm retired, I hang out in the morning.
That's great.
What's on the agenda today, Jerry?
I'm actually going to buy bagels, Bob. The greatest, I know, can't do an on-air recommendation, but Kettle Black on 2nd Street up in near, out the greatest bagels I've ever tasted.
All right. What's the name of it again?
Kettle Black.
Ooh, wow, because I love bagels.
Yeah, Jamie will be on that right away, Chair.
Outrageous, James. They're very, very good. So I'm taking a ride in because that's what you do when you're retired. You find stuff to do.
Man, proud of you.
Yeah. I think there's two things that baseball we're missing. Number one, the clock rules, which I love working down the park now. I get out at normal hours, so it's wonderful. But it's the pitchers are having a hard time getting around that, especially our starters. The two main guys are still having problems with.
Is that an excuse, though, Jer? Like, are we looking for something to find excuses for Wheeler and Nola?
No,
because
Bobby,
everybody has to do it.
I don't think it's an excuse. It's real. When you look at just the other day, they stopped their game for the two balls that people were in the batter's box and they weren't. It's causing problems that are changing the way they do things pitching-wise.
I agree, because if you look at Sandy Alcantara and Scherzer and Verlander and, like, a lot of the big-name pitchers, they're all having higher ERAs this year.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think it's real, yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing is the new schedule. I think you're playing teams you've never seen, and it does put a little slant on things that change it. Playing who have we played that we never played?
It's insane how little divisional play they've had until this point.
Three games going into last night.
That's wild.
But I think in baseball, it's affecting baseball because it's just a little change, and those guys are creatures of habit. You know, they do the same thing every day. So little changes, I think, are starting to show a little bit. I'm not looking for excuses because I think they get to the playoffs again with all you got to do is just finish in sixth place now.
Yeah, they got to turn it around quick. Jerry, listen, hope you have a great, great weekend, all right?
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I love Jerry to death, and he goes, I'm not making excuses. Yeah, but you are.
I mean, I do think
every team has to do it.
But the Phillies have by far the least amount of division games played at this point. Like, their schedule was strange. I'm not saying, I don't know how much validity there is to that because baseball's baseball.
I'd have to look at the Dodgers schedule, everybody else's schedule.
I did see it like 3 weeks ago, and the Phillies had like an abnormal amount of few division games, like the lowest in baseball.
Okay. So we talked about it at the beginning of the year that was going to happen.
It's not. I don't think it's an excuse. I just think it's abnormal.
It's abnormal, but was there a discernible thing to say about it? Like, could you definitively say, that's going to be a trouble? Or could you definitively say, oh, that's a good thing because they can build up their record before they go up against Atlanta?
Probably would have spun it as a good thing because you're not playing the Braves and Mets.
Yeah, that's why like I said, offense to Jerry, but that does reek of excuse to me.
Yeah, but the pitching thing I think is legit. I think pitchers are adjusting to this new era.
Pitchers. So everybody has to adjust to it. It doesn't fall just to the Phillies.
No, I mean, there's guys that are having great years, like Sonny Gray Zach Allen.
It's a funny name, isn't it?
Sonny Gray. Yeah, he was like, I think on that Jim Bowden free agent list, he was like 10th or 11th. So, like, back to Nola, he's third on that list. If you let him walk, which a lot of people want to do now, it's like, all right, well, who are you replacing him with? I mean, the next names on the list are like Clayton Kershaw, Sonny Gray. You know, it's like, and those are the high-end guys. Like, there's no, if you take Sonny Gray, let's just use him as an example and pay him substantial money-ish, he's going to come here and crap the bed. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
maybe.
I don't know how to view Aaron Nola. I really don't.
I don't either.
Because I recognize what he is, and it's a really good pitcher. It's just inconsistent, and the inconsistency always comes at the worst times.
Yes, that's a great way of putting it. I was trying to,
because it's like always the time you need an ace to step up and either stop the bleeding or continue on a winning streak. And it's like those situations, I feel like he always squanders them.
And I thought he got over really that hump in the playoffs last year.
So did I.
Yeah, but then it came back in the World Series.
Yes. True, and I thought that was more tiredness than anything else, but maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, largely he's not been clutch in his career. And maybe that's our biggest thing against him, is when he has those big moments as an ace, those are the ones we remember, and he normally comes up small. Not great.
Not great at all. BQ Basements and Concrete is, though. If your basement or crawl space smells musty or has watermarks on the block walls, you need to get a completely free home inspection from the experts. Call BQ Basements and Concrete because the problem will only get worse. Connor, we teased it. You want to talk about having some people over for a Memorial Day weekend barbecue.
Yeah, we've got some partiers right now in the Philadelphia sports scene. Some fun people. Some guys that like to get after it. Some guys that might just be fun to hang around with. So, if you had to pick three current Philly athletes to come to your Memorial Day weekend barbecue, here's the trick, because they're top guys. We can't pick the same guys. So, like, Bob's three, Jamie has to have three different, I have to have three different.
Okay.
Who are you picking? You guys want to snake
draft? Who's going first?
We'll start with Bob, and we'll snake it.
All right, so, okay, I'll get one. We'll go one and around. All right, at my Memorial Day barbecue, drinking beers with me.
Don't take my top answer.
Number one pick for Bob Cooney is Kyle Schwarber.
Really?
Oh, okay. You didn't take mine.
All right. Wow. I know Jamie's going with. I can't believe. Now, Schwarber's a top first round
pick. That's a good answer.
1-1, though.
Dude, he seems like, he seems like a fun-ass dude.
Hall of Fame partier.
Buddy.
That's okay. Maybe he's my kind.
Okay.
Sometimes I like to be the hit of the party, so I don't want to get the Hall of Fame partier.
Whatever you say.
I'm taking Jason Kelce off the board.
Take him off the board.
Right.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and get Lane Johnson, so you can't get them both. Dude's got the bro barn. I mean, that's a guy who knows how to throw a good party. Could probably pull up with a smoker, a little Southern barbecue. I'm going Lane Johnson.
This dude just seems to have a really cool personality and probably can chill any place, anytime. I'm going AJ Brown.
Okay.
He almost got hit by a car the other day, and he like laughed about it 5 minutes later.
I'm going to go James Harden, because I feel like the entourage coming with him would be spectacular.
Maybe
a little hoe train and some little baby shows up at your barbecue.
What?
Little baby.
No, before that.
Yeah, ladies.
I don't think you worded it that way, but we'll count it.
Wait, a hoe train?
Yeah, I know how James travels.
A hoe train?
Yeah, maybe.
That banter like that is why I'm taking my next pick. Brandon Graham, come on down.
Oh, he'd be making everybody smile.
Exactly. He's just going to be lying next to the pool, one of those like sun hats on, Bermuda shorts, not Bob's party shorts, like some cool ones, and just cracking jokes with everybody the whole time.
Don't make fun of my shorts.
Yeah. Take your party shorts and shove it.
I don't think you've earned that.
You have another pick, Bob. Your time's running out.
I do have another pick. No, time is something that we're trying to get through here. Let's see, my third guy, Phillies, Flyers, Sixers, Eagles. I'm going to have to go my third guy being Tobias Harris.
Wow. Really? What, do you want to talk about literature?
He's just going to read.
Yeah.
No. Because I'm going to tell him to bring a guest, and he's going to bring Boban.
Oh.
So I get Boban and Tobias for the price of one, and they're going to bring one of my favorite snacks, the goldfish.
You can't get like 14 things because you brought Tobias Harris.
You just have... Jamie has a whole tray.
And he knows...
Jamie's bringing a whole tray.
I allow it. That's James Harden. That's an extension of James Harden.
Yeah, yeah.
Who is Boban and goldfish of Tobias? What are you talking about?
Whatever, Cootie. You're on thin ice.
No.
I'm torn between two here.
Okay.
For my final pick. And I'll say them both.
No.
I got so many people to pick from. I wrote an article about this. I'm good.
I'm torn between Reese Hoskins because I think he's like every man, chill, good vibes, just like.
And his wife will show up with a couple cases of beer.
And he would get along with everybody, you know what I mean? Good glue guy.
All right.
And I'm torn between him and Jordan Mailata.
Ooh.
And I have my Aussies.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
He's got a meat pie truck, so maybe he brings some meat pies. I'm going Jordan Mailata.
Shrimp on the Barbie.
I think I'd go Mailata.
So I got Kelsey and Mailata partying at my house with James Harden.
You better have a lot of food and beer, dude.
See, I'm ready.
That's where I was going. And Bob's got goldfish, and you got Mailata making the Australian barbecue.
The meat pies to feed the whole train.
Let me round it out with PJ Tucker.
Got to keep him happy.
I'm taking PJ because he's going to be the dude.
Sneakers?
Socks and sandals at the grill, not letting anybody else touch it. Like, you need the elder statesman that's been around a barbecue a time or two that knows how to, like, handle his business on the grill and getting the food ready. PJ just seems like that guy that would, like, slap your hand with a spatula if you came anywhere near the grill. But you stand around, you're like, oh, that one's cooked well. Oh, that's a good burger. Flip that one right there. PJ seems like he knows how to handle
himself. He's backseat coaching the grill?
No, he's running the grill. Okay. I can stand there and coach him. He won't listen to me.
I think my barbecue wins.
Who do you have again? You got my lot.
PJ Tucker does nothing for me like a meanness to a party to protect the
grill.
He's
not mean. He's about his business. And somebody needs to be about their business to plan the barbecue.
Nah.
I got enough fun.
I'm out on that one. You're
my lot of Kelsey and Harden. That's a party, man.
The hoe tray.
Oh, you know, man. He's bringing Destiny and
Chastity,
all the girls. Yeah, Chastity and all
cinnamon.
The girls. Yeah, cinnamon sprinkle.
Yeah,
sprinkle. He's bringing all of them.
Sprinkle.
Maybe you just give cash out to people there. I don't know.
He's throwing bills at the barbecue.
Yeah, maybe.
If you had these guys coming over, all right, let's go to Jamie's party because he's got. He's.
I won.
I'll give it to you. You won. What do you serve? I mean, I know they're humans, but, you want to try to have them remember the party that they were attending.
Barbecue chicken. I would just keep it simple. Sausages, burgers, dogs, barbecue chicken.
What's the bar look like? You got to get a keg.
Obviously. Yeah. I don't know what tequila. I think a lot of athletes drink. They're big wine people, NBA guys. I'd have to have some James Harden wines out.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Mailata. Mailata and Kelsey are easy. They're beer.
Yeah, they're beer guys.
Yeah.
What a whole change drink.
I don't know. I'll have some juices out with some vodkas and
little Capri Suns.
So if you guys have people over, say for a barbecue, do you get the hard liquor out all the time, or is it just readily available?
I have a bar inside, and I'll tell people that I know like liquor, like. Help yourself.
Yeah. That's what I do because I'm not good at making drinks.
I'll make a big vat of something and just put that out, like whether it be a tequila sunrise or Palomas or something like that.
So we're more, if we have people over just hanging outside during the summer, barbecuing, whatever, more kind of beer and wine is readily available. We do have a, margarita maker.
Ooh.
So you can make a lot of stuff. And so she'll make margaritas and have, batches of that ready.
You know, it's a good margarita hack I've recently been doing. If you like your margaritas a little spicy, the Simply Lemonades?
Yeah.
You get the Simply Limeade, put some jalapenos in there, hit with a little orange, a little Cointreau, a little orange liqueur.
Really?
And some fresh juice.
What's that called? Orange what?
Liqueur.
Liqueur?
Liqueur.
I thought it was liqueur.
Tomato.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a good margarita.
See, that's
hack.
Digging a little deep for me.
No, that's easy as hell. You just pour a little limeade out, you pour the tequila in, shake it up in the bottle, and boom, you're ready to go.
Put the lime and the coconut.
Yeah.
Shake it all up.
It's like you're done in like a minute and a half.
All right. I might have to give that a try, but I probably definitely won't. I can't.
I'm trying to help you.
I don't know how to. My biggest memory of making drinks was watching people come over to my house when I was a kid. And my dad would ask them what they wanted, and they'd say, you know, gin and tonic, something like that. And the first sip that they took every time was the worst face in the world.
Because it's all booze.
And then they'd all ask for ice. So inevitably, when people would come over, my dad would fix them a drink, and I'd be at the ready for him to say, after they made that face, Bob, go get some ice and bring it back. So he must have been very heavy-handed.
I think so.
Clearly. But I don't. Like, when my friends come over, if they want, I just point to the liquor cabinet and say,
make
have
yourself.
At it. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea what to do here. All right, last night to me, the Phillies game. There's no really one-on-one battles in baseball except for, obviously, pitcher and hitter. But last night, to me, with the scoring and everything, it seemed like a one-on-one pitcher versus pitcher. And I still can't believe that Nola didn't come out on top. It reeked of me. It reeked to me of, all right, this is a one-on-one battle. It's Dodd struggling a little bit. It's Nola struggling a little bit. Who's going to come out on top is going to be what pitcher settles down. Did you guys get that feeling? Like, Connor, you're shaking your head yes to me. Did you get that feeling kind of last night? And I couldn't believe Nola didn't come out on top.
Kind of. I mean, when I looked at that game and I previewed it, I said the lineups are relatively comparable. Like, the Phillies lineup, super talented. The Braves probably more so. But that's a matchup. You can call that a wash in some universe. When I see a guy with 15 and a third career innings pitched and Dylan Dodd coming into this game against Aaron Nola, I say, okay, the big difference in this game is going to be Aaron Nola has to be way better than Dylan Dodd.
I didn't even think way better. All right, I'm sorry, not to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
But you're talking before the game, you said before the game started, he has to be way better. Fair enough.
Right.
As the game started and you see both teams hitting, I didn't need him to be way better. I just needed him to be better.
Shut down innings.
Exactly. And I can't believe that Aaron Nola lost that battle against Dylan Dodd.
But you can believe it.
No, I can't believe it because, to me, it totally described this season and it disappoints me.
You can believe it.
So then you can believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it.
But you can.
But you believe it.
No, okay, maybe I'm putting... I couldn't believe it.
His brain's in a pretzel now.
No, I said I couldn't believe it.
The Phillies
I can't believe it.
Twisting up all of our brains in big knots.
I
can totally believe it.
Last night as such a one-on-one thing. Okay, here it is. Both teams are hitting. One of these pitchers has to settle down.
Yeah.
It's up to them. One of these pitchers is going to win this game, air quotes. And Nola couldn't come up and do it against a Dylan Dodd?
Right, because they were trading opportunities offensively. Like, Riley hit the home run, then you get it back, and then this, that, and the other thing. It felt like a very back-and-forth tug of war. Like, if someone just has one shutdown inning here, the game's momentum totally shifts, and Aaron Nola couldn't do that. Yeah, it's disheartening, but that's what you deal with him sometimes.
Did you get that one-on-one feeling kind of last night watching that game, Jason?
Yeah, that was a game Aaron Nola needed to win you. Because I have confidence in the bullpen. Last night the offense was clicking.
Yeah.
It was the third aspect of baseball, and he wasn't good enough. I mean, the stat continues on. Over 50% of their games where they have a run, they allow a run right after.
Drives me nuts. Absolutely nuts. Tom in Alabama, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tom?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Good. Jamie Lynch. How you doing, my dog?
What's up, Tommy?
Not much, man. I hate to come on here and be a negative Nancy about the Phillies, but the way I'm looking at it is they've won 23 games. There's just to get to 85 wins right now with 112 games left in a season. They would have to win 62 of them games, which means they could only lose 50 out of the next remaining 112 games. With the starting pitching with Wheeler and Nola, they don't look anything like they looked last year. Gibson's tearing it up, though, for Baltimore. And the fact they've changed the rules, the bases are bigger. They haven't taken advantage of the stolen bases with Baum, Stott, Marsh, and Turner, who can all fly. This is a tough ask here. They've struck out 450 times. They're not making contact. And Schwarber, you were talking about drinking beer. He could strike out, too. I mean, I got 62 strikeouts. It's just alarming, the whole thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. Hope you have a great weekend. You make great points. A lot of what Tom said isn't excuses. It's just kind of reality right there in front of you. But 62 and 50, that doesn't...
It's doable, but it needs to start pretty soon.
I'd say like now.
Yeah. The remainder of this series and then going to the Mets would be a great time for it to start.
Like, I'm pessimistic that they can even split now in Atlanta.
Well, we got a text last night from John Kincaid that said the Phillies are taking 3 of 4 from Atlanta.
That's not looking so hot.
Well, all you have to do is win three the next in a row.
Yeah. Including an undecided pitcher against Spencer Strider, who's up there in the Cy Young.
Yeah,
voting.
He's probably top three so in Cy Young.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Strom on Sunday night, right?
It should be possibly Gary, but
it should be. But
when
again,
did Kobe throw?
Huh?
When did Kobe throw?
Wednesday.
And he threw you 5 good innings. That was Wednesday, right? What's today, Friday?
Yeah, I think it was Wednesday.
Yeah, so then he's probably not available. Yeah, it'd probably be Strom, but Strom threw in that game too. He just threw less. It could be a call-up. It could be Sanchez.
It could be Strom and... Is it Covey or Covey? I thought it was
Covey.
Covey. It Covey could be Strom and Covey again. Broadcast. Right?
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. God, I'm sure Sunday Night Baseball is loving that. And we're bringing you Phillies-Atlanta, a replay of last year's playoffs, and we have no idea who's pitching for the Phillies.
I think they'll be all right with Strider and Harper, Acuna, Olsen.
There's that, too.
They'll be okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is 97.5 The Fanatic, the John Kincaid Show. When we get back, we have plenty more to talk about. Jamie's going to bring up a name that maybe not everybody loves in the Windy. And what he has to say lately about the 76ers.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Connor Thomas. And the birthday boy, we just found out breaking news.
Wait, what?
Because he doesn't talk to us at all during the 4 hours we're here, so
you
we have no idea.
You sat next to me for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Coach Eric Camille.
Haley had to tell us.
Happy birthday, Coach.
Apparently she knew.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. You go and tell the YouTube people, but you don't tell us, huh?
I didn't tell the YouTube people. Haley did.
Uh-huh. Well, how did she Haley know? Find out?
She saw it on social media because the Fanatic wished me a happy birthday on social media.
Oh, wow.
I think she came in here and said that you sent her a text and said, don't forget it's my birthday today.
I am not a, you guys know me well enough. I am not a look at me kind of guy.
Yeah, you're one of the strangest people I know. Yeah.
But I appreciate that. Thank you.
Happy birthday. Birthday.
Yeah, you got any big plans besides eating some wieners?
A bunch of hot dogs tonight on the grill?
Yeah, that's probably going to be some hot dogs on now. Actually, it's the air fryer hot dog now.
Yeah, I do that for the girls now all the time. It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Really? I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, it's good.
Huh. No big plans, Coach? Or
Heading down to the beach this weekend with Cam.
Oh, sweet.
Yep.
You do that Delaware beach thing.
Yeah, we go to Rehoboth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've never been to Rehoboth.
It's beautiful.
I actually looked it up because you and I were talking, I think last week or something, you were telling me about being down there. So out of curiosity, I just looked it up. It seems pretty cool.
Just got to watch out for the undertow. Huh? Strong undercurrent there. I almost drowned as a kid at Rehoboth Beach. Was down there for a
Why is that funny to you?
That doesn't mean it has a strong undertow.
I rescind my happy birthday. I almost
strong
died.
Undertow.
Wait. Yeah. I got caught under a wave. It, like, drags you out when it pulls back to bring in a new wave pretty strong. And I was down there for a baseball tournament when I was, like, 8 and dragged me under, like, 2 waves. I thought I was going to drown.
Huh.
Yeah, it was scary.
Shame. I don't think you can label it as a town that has a strong undertow because you had an incident at 8 years old, though.
It was strong. It almost killed me.
All right.
There are signs when you're driving into Rehoboth from Lewis saying, watch our undertow.
See? Are there actually?
No, Connor, there isn't.
Damn it. Shut your mic off.
Both of you. Well, happy birthday, Coach.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Yes, you're welcome. We're very happy to share this day with you. And I'm glad you, let us know that it was your birthday.
Well, we found out, 2 and a half hours in?
Yeah, we weren't awake
for
the first 2.5 hours anyway, so... All right, summertime is here. It's coming upon us. We love it. This is one of my favorite weekends, maybe my favorite weekend of the whole year. So I got to ask you guys, does food taste different in the summer? Or is it just that you're eating food in a different way? Because
I think you're eating more grilled food, so it tastes different in that way. Because we use the grill probably in the height of summer at least three nights a week. And I'll do, like, everything on the grill.
I do everything on the grill,
yeah,
also.
Like veggies, potatoes, whatever it may be, fruit. Plus the protein.
You can do
grilled
pineapple.
Grilled pineapple.
Okay,
what? Grilled peaches with a little balsamic drizzle.
I'm thinking about grapes sitting on a grill.
Grapes. Yeah, probably
they fall through the damn grapes too many times.
No, I got this new awesome, it's a cylinder for veggies and like other things.
Oh, did you? I've seen that.
It's awesome.
Is it really?
Yeah. Because you can just like spin it and rotate it. But I used to have one that was like a veggie press kind of thing. And stuff would always, like peppers and onions would always fall out the side.
Yeah.
This, nothing falls out.
Wow.
And it was like $8 on Amazon. Very worth it.
Now, I've seen the screens that you can put on the grill.
Yeah.
You know, that you can put,
but
put
I feel like that's too invasive of the grill surface.
Good point. Now, I have a problem. And maybe somebody can help us out or maybe one of you guys can help me out. So I think I told you. So I have my own grill, and it still works fine and all that. But my brother-in-law bought a house or built a house down the shore. So when he was moving, there was a lot of things he didn't take. One of the things he wasn't taking was his nice Weber grill. Beautiful, beautiful grill.
Not Pete Weber.
I am. So he loads it up in his truck, and he brings it to my house. I'm like, great, I got a Weber grill for the summer. I have this thing like sparkling, ready to go.
Can't get it started?
So the igniter isn't going.
So here's a hidden thing on the Weber. The igniter has a battery. If you unscrew the igniter push button, there's a battery behind it. So check that.
If that works, I swear to God, I am going to buy beer for you for the rest of the summer.
I'm holding you to that.
Well, I'm not going to tell you if it works. Oh, wow.
And if that doesn't work, you should turn the gas on and let it go a little bit. And then just click a lighter a couple times.
And then light a match or something.
Yeah, see what happens.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but try that. Because that happened to mine once. I had no idea.
But it's weird because I think something may have become disconnected because he said it was worked fine before he brought it over. And then when he loaded it up in the truck and brought it over. Or maybe the battery.
The battery, Bobby!
I will. I'm going to be out there doing that.
I had no idea because I had the same situation where it just wasn't igniting. I wasn't even getting the...
No, I'm not getting that at all. I'm not getting the click at all.
Battery might be your problem.
What, you have a Weber?
Yeah.
Do you really? Congratulations on your success.
Yeah, it's just a little... it's a little too... It was our old city grill. So it was a tiny little two burner.
Right.
So I will upgrade eventually.
Bob, what did you leave the stove on? You just freaked out.
I did just freak out.
Now that you freaked out, I freaked out because I left my daughter's power wheels plugged in, and it's not supposed to be plugged in more than 12 hours. So
I
just
make a phone call. Yeah, what happened is, so my grill that I had, I put the Weber grill where I grill. You know, like I have a perfect spot for it right outside the sliders and all that stuff. So when it wasn't working, I got my grill, and I just put it like on the concrete pathway from the gate into, you know, the backyard. And I just cooked there. I meant to move it because I got people coming today, and I forgot to move it, and it's right in their way.
Not people coming.
Well, it's on wheels. They can move it, right?
It's on wheels, but that's not their job. If my wife is listening right now, maybe she has to go outside and move that grill. Although I can't stand watching my wife, and I'm sure most of us are like this. But when she picks up a bag or a box or something, it drives me crazy. To the point I get mad at her. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you do that when I'm standing right here? And I don't mean to be mean, but I can't stand watching my wife do physical labor.
Bob's mad because Donna's flexing on him. My back feels great. I'm going to lift this box right now.
It could
right
be it. And then I get to it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, she probably thinks that you're falling apart.
She's probably doing it for me because I have a bad back. And
probably.
Right.
She's
and
then you yell at her. For doing
she's
it.
Like, I hate when Bob picks up boxes.
What's your favorite thing to cook during the summer, though, out on the grill, Jane? Connor, real quick, I'm sorry. You don't get to get out and cook much. You're in a
we have grills on the roof, so I might be able to.
Big boy grilling on the roof.
Maybe. I might light the apartment on fire, though, so I might refrain from that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a good thing to do. What are some of your favorite things?
I love barbecue chicken.
Do you? I'm not a...
On the grill, chicken, boneless chicken thighs with barbecue sauce just soaked in it and then like burn it so it's a little bit charred.
Crispy, the crispy outside of chicken.
And grilled corn. Just simple. Grill stuff, like the simpler the better.
I love corn so much, especially over in Jersey.
Just
we're
grilling the
when
husk.
You get the Yeah, but
I'll put Lancaster corn against Jersey corn.
Okay, we can do that. Yeah. We can have a contest this summer. All right. And Connor will be our guinea pig. But
I don't like corn on the cob.
What?
It gets in my teeth. I don't like things in my teeth.
Oh, jeez. That's hurts. Why they have these like utensils that you can use to get them out.
It hurts my gums.
All right, if I gave you a, one, Jamie used to always carry them around.
The blackers.
If we give you one of them, will you do the taste contest for us?
I don't need to go to the dentist to eat my meal, so I'll just eat corn out of the can.
Oh, God. He doesn't know what he's missing. I swear. I'm still kind of, I love a steak on the grill.
Yeah,
I'm still a steaksman. When you put burgers and stuff, so I'll get a huge pack of frozen burgers for the summer, because you never know when you're going to throw on burgers and stuff like that. But Donna makes a really good, she'll get the ground meat, and she'll add some stuff to it. And she may, you know what she adds to it, actually, is the French onion soup mix.
Ooh.
It's actually, it makes for a pretty decent burger. But, Connor, your favorite thing to cook if you don't cook either to eat off of the grill?
Yeah, I don't cook. My brother's the grill guy because I burn the house down. I'm more the setup man. So I set up, like, the cornhole
you
and
do
the
coolers
the
condiments.
And stuff. Unnecessary. My favorite thing to eat in the summer. I'm normally not that huge of an ice cream guy unless it's really, really hot out. So ice cream in the summer is just like nothing better than getting home from like a day on the beach and you're like, I need to have like a late night snack or something, crushing a little bit of ice cream or maybe a cone while you're walking the boardwalk.
What does this have to do with a grill?
You said favorite food.
On the grill. We're talking grilling, Connor. Grill. Okay, grill. You don't grill ice cream.
Wait, say grill one more
coach,
time.
Coach is shaking his head in disgust over there. What's the matter, Coach?
You can grill ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, it's very obvious we're talking grill, and Connor comes out with ice cream.
Cone.
Welcome to the show, Connor.
We're going to fight after the segment, Coach.
I am looking forward to some shore ice cream, though. It does taste better down the shore.
Fine. On the grill, I like burgers. You happy?
Yeah.
I love a burger.
That ship's passed, man. Now we're talking. Breakfast tastes better down the shore. You go to a little Uncle Bill's or something like that, or any place in the beautiful town of Wildwood, if that's your place, go-to place. Maury's Piers, which is awesome. Breakfast always tasted better to me. Lunch, you kind of skip down the shore mostly because, you know, you're on the beach.
I usually make a sandwich at the house and bring it to the beach.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
We do the go back to the house and get your lunch if you want to. Normally, we'll pack sandwiches once in a while. I don't like eating on the beach. Sam gets in it inevitably.
It's protein, it Bobby. It's good for you.
No,
our ancestors used to eat sand.
I know it's good. Are you a big play games on the beach, man?
I used to be, but now the girls took that away from me.
Did you guys do wiffle ball and football and all that stuff?
Yeah, I used to bring like ladder golf and bago and then a football usually always. And one of my favorite things was either a lacrosse catch or a baseball catch back by the dunes, like away from people.
Right.
And like have a long toss.
Yeah.
I love the baseball glove on the beach.
That's cool. Baseball glove on the beach is cool. We never, like I said, when I was a little kid, we didn't go to the beach at all. So, but
and wabobas. You familiar with the waboba?
God bless you.
It's the waboba ball. It's the ball that bounces on
off
water.
The water.
Yeah,
awesome. Endless hours with my kids doing that.
It's an awesome
I love
time.
That. Yeah. So I can't sit still on the beach. So it's either long walks for me or get a ball and get a kid and go out there and have a catch or. Or do whatever.
Like
or,
any random kid on the beach or one of yours?
Yeah, it could be random. It could not, I don't mean random, like a stranger.
There goes that white-haired guy with a kid again. Should we be concerned?
No, they're just going to play catch.
No, don't worry about him. He just likes long walks with random kids on the beach.
Let's try out for the Phillies. He's living out a childhood dream.
Do you want to walk or have a catch?
Hey, kid, you want to have a catch and walk with old Uncle Bobby?
I meant random kids like my friend's kids that I'm down there with.
Sure,
not
Bob.
Just random kids.
What beach is your town?
Don't worry about it.
Stay away
somebody,
from that.
Somebody needs to alert the police down
They're
there.
Worried about drinking on the beach. They should be hunting down this kid.
Chris Hansen's going to be stalking the beaches of the Jersey Shore this summer.
Bob, why don't you have a seat right here?
Oh, my God.
And that was all brought to you by Bet Parks. Bet Pro Hoops playoffs on the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. The official sportsbook partner of the real Philly sports fan. Must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, real quick, before we get to your big windy stuff, did you ever do the vodka watermelon thing?
Not in the actual watermelon.
Is that what people do?
You cut a hole and make a little like burrowed out thing. You put the bottle in and let it sit in the fridge overnight.
Oh,
and
okay.
It gets absorbed.
What is it? You put vodka in there?
I think that's what people do. I've never done it. I've had one before. It's okay.
Nothing spectacular.
So one of the new things I saw on Instagram the other day is people for watermelons, you get You let watermelon like slices soak in tequila.
Yeah.
Overnight, and then you hit it with a little sea salt on it.
Oh yeah,
and you get a nice little tasty watermelon tequila treat. So I might venture into that this weekend.
I'm looking for different things to try this summer. Yeah.
Yeah, I might try that this weekend for the little watermelon snack. Just make sure the girls don't grab the wrong watermelon.
And we had it one time where we did that with the watermelon, and my dog got on the table and ate some of the watermelon, and he was like stumbling around the backyard the whole rest of the party, running into things.
Oh, drunk-ass dog.
Yeah, right?
Well, Jamie has a favorite, by far favorite media member, and he can't do a linchpin without talking to him once in a while.
This is the linchpin.
Wendy!
That's your boy.
The deal zone. This is Wendy's time to shine, man.
It is. He's been all over the place, too.
He went over to France to talk to Wemby for all of 10 seconds at 2:30 in the morning local time on draft night. It's Wendy season.
It is.
And he's tied in. Like, you know, we can joke about Wendy's all the time, but he's fairly tied into things. And
well, when you know, you're this...
Yes.
Locked when you're the speaking guy for LeBron James.
Well, they had a falling out, apparently, and his info is still good, so I guess he made enough sources around the league off of LeBron.
You would hope so.
Yeah, so Wendy had this to say. We're going to play the audio for you about the James Harden Sixers situation. And, you know, there's stuff out there probably pushed mostly by James and his camp that Houston's chomping at the bit for him. This started at Christmas, don't forget, when Woj tweeted it out. But here's what Wendy had to say on PTI yesterday.
The 76ers have not shown an appetite to pay Harden the max. That's why they asked him to take a pay cut last year. The Rockets have the cap space. Do they do it? There's been a very hard rumor out there in the NBA about Harden's intent to go back to Houston, and it makes you wonder if it's being sold a little bit too hard. And that's certainly something that people are considering. I guess we're going to wait and find out. But again, just like with Kyrie, the Sixers are not really motivated to pay him that max salary if they don't think anybody else is going to do it.
Music to my ears. A hard rumor. I never heard of a hard rumor, but...
Well, it's been out there since Christmas, I guess, is what he means. Like,
yeah.
Woj being, I guess, tied to it makes it hard.
All right, so what works out best here? Why is this music
to
your ears?
4 years and $200 million makes me have cold sweats.
I think it does the Sixers also.
And that's good to hear because, I guess... My big fear was that Daryl Morey and James Harden's relationship was going to blind him. And with him have taken a discount last year and all that, you know, James was going to be out for blood in the water when it came to money. And I did worry about Daryl and him's relationship. I mean, like, they're probably close family friends at this point. Like, I'm sure, you know, Daryl's daughter has James's, you know, number and, like, I'm sure he's considered like Uncle James to them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and
he's been
Darryl
a big part
probably,
of their life for a decade.
He probably knows Cinnamon and all those people.
Yeah,
intimately.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah, the Ho train probably is.
So I was worried that they were just going to give in. Because realistically, it's their best option. Because if James leaves, you don't really have money to go get another star. You kind of have to keep him in-house if you want another star to run back with. I wouldn't be opposed to just giving the ball to Maxey and seeing if Embiid and Maxey can become a thing and filling out some more complimentary pieces. But, you know, they were 5 minutes away from advancing to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I'm hurt, but I also can point out that it's their best chance to run it back.
That you make a great point. It might just be their best chance.
Oh, it pretty much is. I don't think there's any argument against a better way.
I don't think Harden would agree to a two.
That's what I don't know. Something. But the fact that the Sixers probably know that James and his camp is pushing this Houston thing more than anyone, and that's maybe Houston doesn't want to give him that money. And if they do, see you later. Enjoy Houston and your retirement package there. But it made me at least feel a little bit relieved to hear that Daryl maybe realizes this and isn't going to just give him 4 years, $200 million, or 3 years, $151 million, they might be able to negotiate something decent.
Yeah, when it came about on Christmas Day, we talked about it on these airwaves about, you know, what exactly happened there. And I said to John, I said, I think it was a plant. I mean, it seems pretty obvious that Sixers are on national TV on Christmas Day. Windhorst, or no, it was Woj. Woj was probably in the house. Harden decided to reach out then and say, all right, you know, let's get this, let's get this started rolling, that Houston will pay me and I might be going back there. I thought it was obvious that it was a plan when after that, hardly anybody followed up on it. There was like nothing going on after that. So it seems like complete plant by Harden. It kind of stayed stagnant for a while. Somebody in Houston picked it up and said, oh, let's not forget about it. Doesn't mean it was more of a story or more validity to it. It just means somebody brought it up again. And now come to find out, according to Wendy, these hard rumors are, yeah, it looks like the Sixers might not be giving it to him, nor will other teams be giving it to
him. That's great. I hope nobody's...
So how do you think this works? You put it three or four times. You said, so Daryl maybe decided not to. Do you think Daryl is okay with it? But when do you think this scenario may have played out? Daryl's like, yeah, sure. Let me just go tell Josh Harris. And Josh Harris said, wait a minute. No, we're not paying $200 million to that guy that I just saw not play well in the last two games of the playoffs.
I just don't think they have a better option. I think that's what it boils down to. And then it's like just money.
You think this is a business move on the Sixers' part?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think Daryl Morey is more against the business move and he's making it per...
Wendy got this from Daryl.
Harden's not going to put bad news out there.
No. Sure. I mean, like, this is probably directly from Daryl and they're probably playing the game for the next month through the media. But have you heard of any other team showing interest in max money James Harden?
Should any other team...
I mean, it depends what the team is and how desperate they are. It's hard to say what 31 other teams are in their situations are. But I think for the Sixers, unfortunately, it's the best.
So it's going to be a 90 to 100?
I think that would be a home run. I think when you get into 3 and 4 years is when it becomes.
Oh, I don't want to. Two would be great. Third player option. If you can label something on there.
If you can protect the team a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think this is good news overall that the Sixers are playing this game through the media of, yeah, okay, go find
it. Can a new head coach just be enough what they need? We'll talk about, well, you got to tweak this, you have to tweak that. Can you get better than Paul Reed, say, as a backup center? Can you possibly somehow get a Seth Curry to come back to Philadelphia where he really enjoyed playing and something you could use off the bench there? Could it just be that you run it back and a new head coach is something that maybe be able to put you over the top?
Well, Doc certainly has his baggage with him, so it's hard not to say no. It's hard not to say yes. It could be the difference. I don't know. That offense just became too stagnant when James and Joel had the ball.
It's so obvious. I'm watching that Celtics Heat game. We haven't even brought that up, but Celtics get another win last night.
Yeah, making it a series.
This is going to be a sweat, and I said it.
Jimmy Butler did not show up last night.
I think I said it yesterday, and they didn't even give him a chance to play in the fourth quarter. But I thought for some reason after that other win, I thought the Celtics were going to make this a sweat, and I don't think it's a sweat yet. I'll call it a real sweat if they win in Miami, which I think they may do tomorrow night.
So maybe it's just like a couple beads of sweat. Like you just got to wipe your brow real quick, but you're not
leaking.
Maybe
you're sniffing your underarms a little bit to make sure.
It's sweat under the hat. It's not coming out yet, but you want to wipe it. You can feel it up there.
It's like the dot on the shirt, you know, here and there, dot.
Yeah.
But last night is so damn obvious to me. I'm watching Boston. They spread out their offense, and they have 2, 3, 4 guys that can beat you off the dribble.
Yeah.
And it's just...
It's a perimeter
league. The Sixers
don't
have that. They have nobody that can just... They'll look for the outside shot first, and if I don't have it, okay, I can beat you off the dribble. It takes Harden too long to try to beat somebody off the dribble, in my opinion. That's why you get the standing around. They have to get a wing guy that can beat people off the dribble and can shoot consistently. It was so obvious to me last night. You know what else is obvious? The great times you can have at P.J. Wellihan's. Nothing says Phillies baseball like P.J.'s boneless wings and fries, proudly served at Citizens Bank Park in Ashburn Alley. And try their very popular P.J.'s cheesesteak egg rolls. They are simply amazing, Jamie.
I could go for some right now.
Whenever I talk about cheesesteak egg rolls...
My mom is a huge cheesesteak egg roll fan.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of the, what do you call it? What kind of ketchup do you call it that they put with it? Spicy
sriracha
ketchup?
Sriracha or spicy
Everybody
ketchup.
Seems to put sriracha ketchup out there a lot.
I love it.
You're a spiceman.
Oh,
I'm not a spiceman as much as you.
No.
You're built different.
I am. Just give me regular ketchup or nothing with them, and I'm good.
I usually only put... Cheesesteak egg rolls might be the only exception to my ketchup and potato rule. I pretty much only put ketchup on potato products, meaning French fries and tots.
French fries and tots, ketchup, absolutely.
No, I don't really use it outside of that.
I don't use it. I put mayonnaise on my burger, not ketchup.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll ketchup mayo swirl.
What kind of fry? What are your favorite fries? Because I have undoubtedly
waffle. Great for condiment dipping. It gets everything. All those nooks and crannies.
The holes, it gets on your hands.
Yeah, Connor makes a good point.
Yeah. There's not enough coverage there. I like the shoestrings.
No, they're too thin. I need a little girth with my fry.
It makes me feel like I'm eating healthy, though.
Girth on a fry? Dainty fry. I will take a steak fry. Steak fry.
Oh, yes. My God. I don't know.
I love steak.
Can you talk to that?
Are you good?
Steak fries.
Are you all right? It's Coach's birthday. I'm all for clumps. How old are you, Coach?
Don't deflect.
35. Jeez.
Happy 35th, Coach.
All right, when we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about this Boston-Miami series.
Were you about to say mayo?
No.
Are you all right?
Why would I say mayo?
You were saying we're about to talk about this Miami-Boston series. You all right?
Maybe.
I'm worried about you.
I am worried about me, too. But we only have an hour left, so we should be able to get through it. This is the John Kincaid Show here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back on this holiday Friday. Hope everybody's having a good day so far. John Kincaid is having a great day because he's on the road to recovery. Going to be back here on Tuesday when we're going to have a big announcement. No, the announcement isn't that John's back. We all know he's coming back. And everybody that made guesses on YouTube, I saw you. No, nothing that you said is going to be what the big announcement is. I do want to right now, though, address some of the tweeters today, James. Because during that break, I looked up some of the tweets going on.
Good or bad?
No, just, you know, opinions, no big deal.
All right.
But Vinny Gallo tweeted you, and he said, one time I saw Bob Cooney on the Ocean City, New Jersey beach wearing a Nationals hat. True story. No, it's not. I have a visor that has a W that looks like the Nationals, but it was the, it's Whitman Square Swim Club that I used to belong to. That was our, what do you call that? Like, what do you call like the...
Logo.
Symbol, logo. Logo. I couldn't come up with logo.
I thought you moonlighted as a Walgreens employee.
You all right today? Logo? Four whole
letters. Two of them are the same.
Yeah. I had a guy say that. Oh, here it is. We just heard you say the Phillies lineup is ridiculously good. Sorry to disappoint you, but it's not even close to ridiculously good.
Historically, they are.
They're
not right now, but if you took the average of Trey Turner and his major league career.
Right, and everybody else, and Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber,
yes. Yeah. Historically, it should be a absolutely great lineup.
And then he said, you also said they have the best shortstop in baseball. I didn't say. I said arguably one of the best shortstops in baseball. He said, that is also incorrect, and then he gives up his goods here. He says the best shortstop plays in Citi Field.
Wait. Did that best shortstop in Citi Field win? So he was first team All-MLB last year, right?
He had a down year last year. He's back this year.
Wait, then who was first team All-MLB?
I believe that was Trey Turner.
Oh, wait. So that makes him the best shortstop in baseball.
I'm just reading you what people are saying.
I'm just reading what the voters said.
People are saying, you know, sweetest swing. Here's a great one. John Olerud.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
But another lefty.
I know. We needed
lefties.
They are. Yeah, lefty, you're right.
I don't know what it is.
Swingers are so much prettier. Left-handed swingers are so much prettier.
Depends on the context of that statement. And,
well, we got an hour left to make it without Bob saying something that gets his show canceled. Everyone cross your fingers and toes.
All right, well, Connor,
can you cross toes?
Yeah, well, maybe, like the small ones. I don't know. I think you need to use your
fingers. I can get the big over the other, but I can't do any of the others.
Yeah, I can get the big over the other, only on my right foot. I can't do it on my left foot.
Yeah, it's a struggle on the left.
Yeah, right foot I can do it. No. Connor wants to talk about local athletes that had a big arc, Connor. Explain to me what the heck you're trying to talk about.
Yeah, so I have something that's going to play into this from recently. But over the past year, Philadelphia sports, and we're not going just like
since the start of 2023. No, since like Memorial Day 2022. See, I'm contagious with Bob. I caught the can't talk. But really, we have the last four seasons. So you got the full seasons for each of the teams. And I know the Phillies are into one right now. So you kind of get two for the Phillies. There are a bunch of candidates, but who has undergone the biggest developmental arc? Who's had the biggest jump here in Philadelphia? Now, there are plenty of options, and we're taking Jalen Hurts off the board like we always do, because I feel like he's the clear candidate. He went from a guy that we don't know if he could play in this league to MVP candidate. But there are a bunch of guys that bounce around in your head when you think about this, a big jump. The reason I'm bringing it up, I'll just take my first one, because it's my topic.
It's his subject, and he gets to bring up the first one. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely.
It's going to get taken.
Yeah. Well, Alec Bohm, I'm taking off
the board. All right, good. That's not mine.
Because what you saw last night was a guy that, when he hit that home run to answer Austin Riley, the only thing I could think about was a year or two ago, we were talking about how the Braves find this guy, Austin Riley, who could play third base, play a solid infield, a really good infield in his case, hit the ball for power, hit the ball for average, and just be this cornerstone of the franchise. Why can't the Phillies find that guy? Alec Bohm's kind of turning into that guy. Maybe not to that extent, but he's taken a huge jump this year. The defense has come around. He hits for average. He's showing off power. That guy's become something. He's become a like top-level player on a really good team. So I look at Alec Bohm as a guy who's made a huge jump, and I saw that on prime display last night in Atlanta, so it had me thinking. So who do you guys have?
Is it just unique to this year, or can it be fairly recent?
He said over the last four years.
Over the last year. The last year.
You're going to take mine.
Well,
Don't throw two. Just go.
I think
one.
The jump was actually 2 years ago, so it might have fallen out of the.
No, it falls in. He said over the last 4 years. So you.
But then he said the last year.
I said the last year. Are you listening?
What?
I think it still applies because. I'm going to go with it. Tyrese Maxey.
That was going to be mine, but.
Well, then do you want me to take Bryson Stott and you can have Tyrese Maxey?
I was going to take Bryson Stott next.
You can only pick one, Bob.
Which one do you want? You can have one.
No, it doesn't matter now. I'll go Bryson Stott.
Okay.
And I think it happened in the World Series where he had that, if you remember this, Connor, didn't he have like a 9-pitch at bat, wound up getting, it might have been in the playoffs, not the World Series.
It was against the Braves. Yeah, it started
just
off
just seemed like, and he didn't have a great World Series. He didn't hit well at all for average. But he just seemed to like get this amount of comfort and confidence during the playoffs last year that I thought, and we talked about it at the time, that we thought could carry over to this year because of the high stakes and because you're playing in a spot you've never played before. And when you realize you can succeed at it, it can't help but carry over. So I'll go Stott. You explain why Maxey.
I loved Maxey at the time they picked him, and he's improved, I think, all of the 3 years. But the biggest leap to me was him becoming an elite outside shooter. That was one I didn't know he had in him. So to me, that's the style of the NBA. If you can be as fast as him and be a knockdown shooter, I mean, you got a chance to be great.
Now, Connor, you said you had a lot of them. We mentioned some pretty good ones.
I mean,
here.
You could go with Landon Dickerson as a great one.
That
great
is jump. A really good one.
Pro Bowl caliber guy now.
Off of injury and much, debate about should they have taken him because he's just an injury waiting to happen. Hasn't really missed any time and just became an all-pro guard like that.
If it was this time last year, you could say Jordan Mailata.
Yeah, but
a lot
kinda...
of people think Mailata had a little bit of a down year this year. So
well, he had like his shoulder ripped out of his body.
Yeah, that kind of hurts.
It's tough to play. He did
a pretty good job playing through it.
Jose Alvarado's another good one.
That's a great one.
He got sent down last year, and then he came back and turned into one of the best lefty relievers in all of baseball. Like, that's a huge career development for him.
That's a terrific one, Connor.
But mentally, he figured it out. There are a lot of different guys that you could point to, which is, I guess, a good sign. Because
Hassan Reddick had done it, but...
Yeah, that's not a good one.
Yeah, but he kind of almost got better here. I mean, he was a legit defensive
and a half sacks.
He was a defensive player of the year candidate.
And you could make the argument that he's a big, big reason, and not because of his 19 and a half numbers, but because of his style of play, a big reason they had 70 sacks last year.
Absolutely.
We talk about Fletcher
Cox. Should I take my boy Josh Sweat? Sweaty season? He's getting better every year.
He's consistent, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's consistently getting better, too.
Okay.
Like, it's not like he came out.
Joel
Embiid
was better this year than last.
Yeah, but minimally.
Yeah, that's why that. You want to talk about a little hockey, too.
Oh, I got one. Hold on. Before you go there. Okay. How about Brad Marsh? Brad Marsh. Brandon Marsh.
Brad Marsh, no. Brandon Marsh will count it.
Can Brad Marsh still skate?
I think he could, yeah.
Probably.
He's still around. And yeah. All. Those guys never forget how
to
skate.
Yeah, Brandon Marsh won the job.
Brandon Marsh came here last year with a 220 average over with the Angels. Totally changed his stance. I love the picture, and they'll probably do it Sunday night if he plays. Right. They'll do the picture of him, his stance last year with the Angels, his stance this year with the Phillies. Completely different. And to me, I know they're still platooning him a bit, and it's I think he's legit. Like, I'd keep him there as my everyday center fielder, and maybe they're leaning towards
You're
him.
You're not worried about the Moniak hot streak of the last, 2 weeks?
Yeah, Mickey's been going, he got 3 home runs in 6 games or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but
like
his at-bat total is still, 35. Like, it's not.
No, it's. Yeah.
It's not a real sample size
I'm not
yet.
Worried about Mickey.
Yeah, but Brandon Marsh does look good.
You ready to go hockey?
Yeah, Owen Tippett coming over here. He comes to the Flyers. He's turned into a guy that could play in the NHL. You got him as kind of one of those throw-ins in the Drew. He turned out to be a guy that he's put up not really the numbers that you want to see from the high-level NHL player, but he's still young. He's a piece that this organization, if they're going to build around anybody, because everyone's available to move, you could go ahead and try and build around him a little bit.
What's his name?
Owen Tippett.
Plays for the Flyers?
Yeah. You heard of him?
I did now. Now I'm teasing you. That's a good one.
Great. Real believable there, Bobby.
Real, real good, Connor.
But it makes you show that even though you've got a bunch of championship contenders in the city, there's still plenty of guys that are taking jumps. And when you look at projecting that out over the next calendar year, Memorial Day 2024, I mean, there are plenty of guys still that you could be looking at to say, okay, they're poised to make the jump that an Alec Bohm did, a Brandon Marsh did, a Jalen Hurts, even though we took him off the board, did, Landon Dickerson. All these guys, you can point to other guys on these teams that are ready to take that jump. The Eagles,
this time next year, who are you going to say it about?
Hopefully N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably the number one.
Yeah, just because we have no idea what he is.
None whatsoever.
So the bar could be low and he could exceed it by a mile. I don't know.
I got another good one for you. Hopefully we're saying it about Jaden Springer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be a legit bench piece next year.
That's a good one.
That would be a great addition.
Paul Reed, maybe you say it about next year.
Well, he should have the job.
How about Andrew Painter? We're saying it about next year.
He's jumping from nothing, though. I don't know that we can count him until we see him.
Okay. Coach, is there any union player that has made a huge jump or breakout through the last year?
Cam Camille.
I would, let's see here. I would probably say Julian Carranza was probably one of them. Played for Miami, came over. I don't know his stats, but I know last year he had an incredible season. So I would probably
12
go
goals
with him.
In the past 12 year goals. And a half.
Okay.
Yeah.
That takes so hot to set off the Mike fire Ted. Alarm.
Yeah, what's going on here? Fire
just
alarms?
A drill. We're good.
Yeah, it's just a drill. Stay put.
Oh, they said we're having a drill at 9 o'clock today?
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Makes sense. So, yeah, if you see flashing on the YouTube channel or if you hear some stuff going on in the background, for some reason we decided fire drills, good idea at 9 o'clock when there's about 6 shows going on. But it's all good. Coach, I think they did this for your birthday. They want to remind everybody that it's Coach's birthday. All the bells and whistles are being pulled out.
Am I supposed to go outside?
You're supposed to go outside because they're going to have a confetti
big cake
type parade and stuff for you. All right, so I'm watching that Celtics Heat game last night, and Celtics with a very nice win, very convincing win. I mean, they brought it last night. They came out right off the bat, threw out a run, got up by 15-17. Jamie, you said earlier Jimmy Butler was pretty much held to nothing. It was one of those games
only
where
had 14 points, right?
Yeah, it was one of those games where I felt it was like, he's out there and other Heat players and just like, yeah, it's not happening tonight. That's the kind of game the Celtics played last night. Does it do anything to your feelings towards the 76ers when you watch something like that? Because it did to me. What it said to me was, I thought it was impressive the other night when they're down 3-0. They come out in Miami. Could you have folded? Absolutely. Their coach, under scrutiny. Timeout is called. Marcus Smart sits in the coach's chair and decides to yell at the players and tell them what to do and all that. They're kind of just disregarding their coach right now. They come out last night with another great effort, made a no doubt about a game. That is something that I just don't feel like the Sixers have, that I care and I'm taking this game. Am I wrong in that? Am I overthinking it, James?
No,
do you feel the same way?
Joel Embiid really hasn't done that yet. Like last year, Toronto, he hit a buzzer beater finally, and you saw it some this regular season. But again, when it matters most, I mean, NBA playoffs boil down to most times, you know, occasionally you get that Gabe Vincent type of game. Most times it's star versus star and who's going to take it and win. And Joel hasn't really done that versus other stars yet.
And this is where I felt bad about it, Connor. As I turn on the game, and I told you yesterday morning that I thought the Celtics were going to take this game and that they're going to make this a sweat series. It's only because it's a feeling that I have about that organization. A feeling that, nah, they're not going to roll over and die. Nah, here it comes. It's the feeling when they play the Sixers. It's a feeling when they play another team, like I mentioned yesterday. I want to get that with the Sixers. I just don't have it. Do you? Am I overstating it?
No, I don't think you are. And I think that's why PJ Tucker was here remotely, because I think the organization recognized heading into this season that they haven't had it. And I don't think one guy is enough. Like, I don't think one PJ Tucker is enough to change that around. But this team needs more guys with that mentality, or somebody needs to develop that mentality besides just Tucker. So he's not the only guy getting in Joel Embiid's ear when he's not going to the hoop and like becoming unguardable like he said he was. I don't know, man. I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. I think that exists. I'm just trying to figure out why it would. You have two players that are top 75 players of all time, and Joel Embiid and James Harden. You have P.J. Tucker, who's won before. You have Tyrese Maxey, who, while young, has been a player in this league for a couple years. You got a veteran bench. You got a head coach who's won one and has been around forever. If this team didn't have it, how do they develop it in this era?
I don't know.
Can they?
I don't know. That's a million-dollar question.
I mean, does a new coach bring that right with them? I don't know. I think it's a lot harder than that.
What's on a new coach's resume that Doc Rivers didn't have?
Well, Nick Nurse has won.
So has Doc Rivers.
Yeah, but recently. I would say 2008 was an entirely different NBA than even 2022.
Yeah, but you heard how Doc talked when people brought it up in the media. Like, check my history, check my record, this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, your history says you've lost more Game 7s than any coach by a mile in NBA history. So
you're right. We agree. But I believe he was telling the players, like, if they question anything, he's like, guys, listen, I've won doing this before. Like, they've heard that already from Doc.
I don't know. I think it's something you have to grow. I think it's something, because we've had those teams. The Eagles are a team like that, I think. You just always have confidence, okay, they're going to come back in this game, or they're going to rebound from that loss. I hate to say it, that I feel that way with the Celtics a lot of times, following basketball as much as I do. I just have that feeling, and I related to you yesterday, that they just know how to overcome tough times, whether it's game-wise, from game to game, from season to season, that I just don't know if it's built in here right now. And that's a tough way to go.
Yeah, but I just don't know how you build that. To me, and this is obviously not professional, there's a lot more aspects that play into this, but growing up with people and playing sports with people who had that, playing on teams that had that, you're kind of born with it. You kind of just are that guy or you aren't. And I think teams are created by building their roster around guys like that. I don't know that the Sixers have enough of those guys. Like, I don't know that James Harden and Joel Embiid and some of the bench pieces could ever be those guys, because I think it's something that's inherent. Like, P.J. Tucker was never not that guy. I don't know that you can develop that.
Well, I don't know if you can either.
Yeah, he's... But P.J. Tucker is a guy that you have to have with the Jimmy Butlers.
Yeah.
With the absolute killer guys. I'm watching that Boston team last night. You just knew that Jason Tatum wasn't going to not show up. You knew that Jaylen Brown was going to have something there. Like, you just know it and you feel it. It shocks you more when they don't. I think it's just the opposite with the Sixers. You're not shocked when they don't. That's kind of what you expect.
Right, and my point is, I don't think you can turn guys that don't have that into guys that do. I really don't. I think guys might have it early on in their career and they're too young to know how to win. But they don't, either you're a, I hate to say lay down and die type of guy or a fight type of guy, because that's not fair.
But it's learning how to do something, just like all the sports. I think learning how to be a winner is part of sports. Now, you have to do it.
But this is,
so if Joel Embiid, I'm sorry, Connor, if Joel Embiid were to hit a game six jumper or take over in the last 4 minutes of that game six against the Celtics and they win the game, maybe it's something he learns and then and it goes off in his head like, okay, now I got it.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
This isn't even like learning to be a winner to me. This goes deeper than that. It's learning how to be a competitor almost. And that feels like I'm being
that's overly critical.
I know.
That's a damning statement. I think these guys are competitors.
And I don't mean for it to come off that way.
But okay.
The ethos of this team, I don't want to point to any individual. They get in the big spots, and when they're the more talented team, the less talented team, the even talented team, they don't get results. And to me, I can't point to talent anymore. And I can't point to not learning how to win because they've been around long enough. I point to something deeper inside of them.
Jamie, you think you can learn how to become that killer attitude type person? Or is, as Connor says, it's more just like in you to begin with?
You can probably learn it to a degree, but I think it's harder to do than not. Like Michael Jordan lost early in his playoffs. Was that just him being young, or did he develop this killer where he was punching teammates and demanding everyone's best?
Because he felt what it was like to lose.
Yeah, I think he was motivated by losing, and maybe something went off. At this point, I don't know if you can say Joel Embiid's motivated by losing. Not that he isn't getting better individually, but you know, we talked about it yesterday. The best person he's beaten in the playoffs is what, Pascal Siakam and Bradley Beal?
Yeah,
when you put it in that context, it's like, oh, well, damn.
I got a lot of texts and calls yesterday from friends about, hey, your argument this morning about Embiid and Jokic, who would you rather have?
It's an interesting discussion. I mean, I think you're good either way, but Jokic has more playoff success.
And so one of the things that that I was talking to with my friend Joe, I was like, is it just because we want something different that you would say you'd rather have Jokic? Or is it because you think he's a better player? It's kind of a grass is always greener on the other side, maybe?
Yeah, but I mean, defense is a part of the game.
Oh, it absolutely is.
So does Jokic's assists and making his teammates better offensively get offset by Embiid's defense? I don't know.
I don't know. I'd
love to see a poll, like an honest, unanimous poll of all GMs in the league. Would you rather have Jokic or Embiid? And I'd love to know what the results were.
That's pretty good. I might text a couple of people during this break just to see what they have to say. Hey, Frank in Newtown thinks that we're all off base here. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on?
I love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, buddy.
I go back a little bit, okay? I was a kid. I was like 8 or 9 years old when the Sixers won in 1983. So I thought that was going to be every year for the Sixers, okay? I grew up at a time when they were elite, all right? And then it seems like since 1983, every single decision they've made has been mostly the wrong decision. And it goes back to just choices and talent evaluation. And if you just take iteration of the Sixers, every decision they made has been wrong. I mean, it all goes back to the GMs and who's making these picks. You go back to Embiid. They lucked on Embiid. Remember, they wanted Andrew Wiggins. Can you imagine if they got Andrew Wiggins? I mean, they didn't even want Embiid. They wanted the number one pick, which we didn't get. I mean, it was just luck getting Embiid. But every decision, and Mikal Bridges, and you know, drafting Maxey was lucky. I mean, I'm sure they scouted him and they knew he was, you know, decent player. But I don't think they realized how good he was. Every decision they made has been bad. So unless they get an elite talent evaluation team, I mean, nothing's going to change. I mean, we can talk about they have no fight in them, they have nothing. It all comes down to choices, and they're making every choice they make, every fork in the road, they choose the wrong road.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. I appreciate it. It's not that you put out much that we all, you know, haven't talked endlessly about. But all right, let's go on this, where Frank said it's talent, it's not mentality.
I don't think it's talent.
I mean, I think you can make the best starting four that you can have in the
league. I think you can make the case that they had the most talented big four in all the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, Frank makes a great point. Of course, they've made some horrible decisions over the years. But when it comes to talent,
I don't think it's talent.
I don't think so either. Hey, we head into the final stretch of the morning. Sorry. Presented by Stretch Zone. Want to relieve sore muscles, increase your flexibility and range of motion? Book your free 30-minute stretch session today at stretchzone.com. Talent, Connor, I don't think that's...
If it's talent, how the hell did you lose to the Atlanta Hawks?
Yeah. I mean, they had more talent than the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, but
no,
he was talking
about,
he was talking about the whole they need to make better decisions to get better talent in here. You've had better talent than teams in the past. You haven't won.
Yeah, and they, could they have, to Frank's point, could they even have better talent? He mentioned Mikal Bridges.
They
of
could,
course.
But I'm done with talent. They built a good enough team. This is a championship caliber roster.
I'll stick this town up against pretty much anybody. I mean, really, you lost to the Boston Celtics. You get past Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Really, you got cooked by Al Horford? I mean, Al Horford stopped the MVP of the league in that series multiple times. I don't think it's much of a talent thing.
My mom's worried about you misspeaking so much today.
Did she? What she
said? Is Bob really having trouble talking? If so, he needs to get that checked out. Ask him to smile. Is it equal on each side? Is he having any other issues?
No, I'm good. Thanks, Eileen. I appreciate it.
She's a nurse, so she went right into nurse mode.
I know she did. Yeah. No,
let me smile for me. Looks even.
Do you smell toast?
No, nothing burning here. I'm good to go. Okay. Thank you, Eileen. I do appreciate it. But, yeah, sometimes it's weird because we talk so much. Sometimes we get jumble mouth. And today I just had a case of it a little bit. Don't worry, Eileen. I'm feeling great. Everything's good. I promise. I thank you for checking in on me.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I think we're all a little bit off today here on the John Kincaid Show. I appreciate Eileen Lynch checking on me. My smile is perfect. Everything's okay. We're good.
Well, I wouldn't go perfect. It's just even.
Yeah, it's just like a mumble. Now, look, like I'm not usually, I don't usually sit in this seat. So when you're in this seat, there's a lot going on more than, you know, when you're co-hosting. You're reacting off of the host, and this one you have to generate. You guys know what it's like. You've all hosted before. So, yeah, I get a little jumble mouth sometimes because maybe I get ahead of myself. But when I was doing the last read after Jamie's mom checked in to say, check his smile and all that stuff, I was so careful on my last read not to get one word wrong because I was afraid she was going to be come running in here with her stethoscope and stuff. So, all good to go. We thank you for joining us here. We're also a little off. Connor comes in, taps me on the arm, and goes, so what time are you going down the shore? And I just look at him. He goes, oh, that's right. You've been saying all morning that you're not going anywhere. You're staying home for the weekend.
I don't know, man. I'm not. So, I'm half listening to you.
Yeah, it's Coach's birthday today. So I was thinking of stopping over there for a little cake and stuff to start the weekend off.
Stopping over where?
Over your house.
Yeah, I won't be home.
Could you see? I could see that. I could see us pulling up like me
Cam,
and you.
Turn off all the lights. Bob's pulling up. Let's pretend like we're not here.
Getting out of the car with like a 12-pack in our hands and him being like, and just like, yeah.
Kill the lights.
Yeah. I have the Ring doorbell, so I know when people are approaching.
Don't walk in front of the window.
Just so people know, he still has the no-caller ID on his...
Probably the weirdest aspect about you.
Probably unbelievably weird. And I got the other day, can you call me? And so I look back to see if he called me. Nothing.
No, he's reverting back now.
You didn't get that. I
absolutely
that
got that. I got... Can you call me? I'll look it up on my phone.
Yeah. I didn't say, can you call me? There had to be something else there because I make sure that if there's something that I need to talk to you about, I say, you know, can you please call me for this reason?
No, you're way off on that. here, Jamie. Sorry, somebody talk because I got to
show you. What in the world is going on?
Can you call me?
Sketchy. I even have the day, if you'd like, Coach. It was Friday, May 19th at 11:49 a.m.
Ooh.
Can
wow.
You
he's
call
got
me?
Receipts.
That's,
wow.
That's a you're getting fired.
Bang,
happy
you ain't birthday beating those to you. Charges.
That's I don't right. know what that was even about.
So Haley comes in here with all her wisdom during the break and says to me, like, Bob, did you hear what you just said? And I was like, no, because she catches stuff. I love that. You know, she has some different takes, and I love to hear that. And she goes, what you just said has me cracking up so badly. I'm like, why? What did I say? You said, Connor has a friend who has a cousin.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
A lot of and friends goes, have cousins.
Yeah, that's
most
funny.
Most people have cousins.
Yep.
But does that sound funny that Connor has a friend that has a cousin that did something fun last night?
It's always one of those things where it's like tough describing like a story you've heard like three times down the line.
Yeah.
So it's like, just, oh, well, my next door neighbor's best friend's cousin saw Bill Murray and he had a tickle fight with him on the streets of New York. And it's like, well, yeah, that sounds weird.
What? Yeah, I don't think the lead-in was the weird part.
Yeah, no, well, Bill Murray used to go up behind people in New York on the sidewalk, put his hands over their eyes from behind them, and then they would turn around and be like, oh, my God, Bill Murray. And he'd walk away going, nobody's ever going to believe you. And he would just disappear.
That's what Bob says to the kids on the beach.
That's messed up.
So I turned it into a tickle fight. But, yeah, it's always weird when you kind of are like the fourth person to get the story, how you have to describe it.
I don't have
Connor's friend who has a cousin.
Yeah, Connor has a friend who has a cousin.
It does kind of
sound something interesting last night.
It'll make sense later.
9 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by the Bagster Dumpster in a Bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to Bagster.com. Well, tell us about it now that we've mentioned it. You have a friend whose cousin did something pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's one of the kids I played basketball with, played college baseball with, and been a good friend for years. And he shot a text in our group chat last night, and I thought it was something about basketball, like, oh, when are you guys getting there? I looked down, and he's like, yo, my cousin's on Jeopardy right now. His cousin, who's from Mechanicsburg, PA.
The 7 o'clock Jeopardy?
The 7 o'clock Jeopardy.
I didn't see it last night, because my wife was playing the Masters Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah.
The final episode she didn't see.
She
was watching
for?
The tape last night. I don't know if she's rooting for anybody. She doesn't like one of the people. I don't want to say who she doesn't like.
James?
No, not James. It was somebody else.
Yeah. Why can't you say
I figured, because I don't like to say when somebody's not liked. I figured.
The guy, they're on Jeopardy.
It's a random person
who cares?
On Jeopardy, dude.
I mean, who are you protecting?
Your whole career.
She can hate whoever she wants.
She doesn't hate's a strong word.
Well, she dislikes.
What's the lady's name? Matea? Or something like that. There's a lady on there. And it's actually, she had a sad story. So I think my wife does like her now. But she was on the set of Jeopardy and her dad suddenly passed away. And she found out when she was on the set. And it was on Twitter. It made the rounds. Go ahead.
What is the pressing? This is a situation, though, where he sent the text and we all tune in. And we're all sitting there watching to see how she does. I don't know this lady from... I guess not from Adam, from Eve. I don't know what that expression is for a female, but don't know who this lady is. But you check in, you're rooting for her, you want her to win. And one of the hardest things in Jeopardy, the thing that always like racks my brain if I was ever to go on there, it's not getting the clues, it's not Final Jeopardy, it's the fun fact. The host walking up to you.
What would your fun fact be?
Well, that's the question. Now, she nailed it. Her fun fact was like, oh, I'm a film buff. I bet on the Oscars every year. I enjoy it. I just try and see if I could do better than the last year. And immediately, I make fun of my buddy because he's a big gambler. And I'm like, oh, runs in the blood. But the other two had loser fun facts. The one guy was like, oh, I'm a Disney adult that likes to go down four times a year. And the one guy was like, we collect magnets. And we have cookie sheets worth of magnets just hanging on the walls around our house.
Whoa.
Like, okay, she's playing two weirdos. So you got to have a good fun fact. If you're on Jeopardy, we've lived interesting enough lives. Our line of work opens up opportunities. What would be your Jeopardy fun fact?
Oh, man.
I'd probably go obvious on my first night and say something like...
you have to change it every night you're on.
But they tell different stories every night. Yes.
Bob, I get a feeling the way you're talking today. You might just have one night.
Right, exactly. That's not nice. I would probably say, like, I've been fortunate enough in my career to have two jobs that I absolutely loved. And not a lot of people have that, you know, and blah, 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 blah.
I'd probably only be playing one night. I might go with the fact that, like, I legally died once and came back. I don't know if it was legal, but, you know, pretty much.
You illegally died?
Well, I don't... When
Please
I was,
stop that man from dying. That's illegal.
When I was underwater, I don't know if my pulse officially stopped, but I remember telling people that I was looking down from above at... the scene.
That's I have purposely put that story out of my head.
Yeah.
Because when you bring it up, it gives me...
So I came back from the dead, I think.
So if for people that don't know the story, go ahead and fill them in.
I was down the shore, and my butt got stuck to an uncapped jacuzzi drain and the filter system, and I was underwater for like 2 minutes and spent 2 weeks in the hospital and very lucky to be alive.
How old were you again?
11 or 12.
Oh, God, the feeling you might... I can't even talk about it. It makes
I might go with that because I'm only there one day. I might just go with a heavy hitter.
That's not bad. What would your follow-up be? Say you got lucky enough to... Say you were facing off against me, who would be jumbling my words all the time.
I don't know. Been fortunate enough to work three of the greatest Super Bowls of all time.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
That's very cool.
Coach, what's yours?
Well, besides having a crazy Pez collection...
No, that's what you got to lead with.
Yeah, you got to go Pez.
You're Pez guy.
I had Thanksgiving dinner with Martha.
That's a good one, yeah.
Martha Stewart.
By the way, SI swimsuit cover model now at age 80.
How about that?
What up?
Oh, congrats. God. I brought that up. It was one of our topics the day after it was announced.
Oh, really? She looked good.
She's Coach, 81 years old, dude.
Coach, you ever regret letting that one get away?
Could be you, Coach. You could be the sugar daddy.
Yeah, no.
Coach, you ever have some of that? Well, Martha Stewart actually?
Martha, no, but her house in Bedford, good dessert? Certainly a beautiful home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Mm-hmm. What? Any good stories from that night of that you had Thanksgiving dinner?
You mean any good stories that you're looking for that are like...
No,
you know,
just like, oh, it was funny because I thought she would have beautiful china and she broke out paper plates or something, you know. Just
she passed a big joint around the table and everybody got lit?
No, but surprisingly, you would think that with all of her staff that she would just sit down and you know, entertain, and she didn't. She was actually in the kitchen cooking for all of the employees that were there.
I got to tell you, if I'm going to Martha Stewart's house for dinner, I would get in the kitchen. Martha Stewart's going to cook. I'm not going to Bobby Flay's house and expecting to, you know, throw down beers with him while somebody else is in the kitchen.
Nah, with Bobby Flay, you would... Nah, with Martha, too. You'd want to be sitting there maybe doing some shots.
I'd like to watch her cook.
I'd hang out in the kitchen with her while
she
cooks.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think I'd pour myself a glass of wine and watch how, you know, great of a cook she is.
And then I could watch her bet Phillies baseball all summer long on the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan. Must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
That's a pro right there.
Nobody does that better.
Wow.
Oof, he's not bad.
I had two Connor, to get in. I had to get one in now.
Did you give...
What'd you say?
Do you have one, Connor?
Yeah, sure. I was hoping you guys would forget. I don't know which one I'd go with. I ended up sitting in the VIP section of a bar next to Steve Urkel one time, Jahlil White, randomly.
In Philly?
In Philly, yeah. There's a bar in Sarah City called Blind Barber that has like an upstairs like club area. And I know the guy who's the general manager through when I used to bartend. And he was like, hey, I'll be up to hang out with you in a second. I'm just taking care of some stuff down here. And he walked me up and he sat me down next to this guy and he introduced him. He's like, hey, this is Jahlil. And I just turned and he just sat me next to Urkel. And he was by himself. I think the Chargers were in town and he's a Chargers fan. So he was here for the game, something. But I just have 10 minutes alone sitting there.
Urkel didn't have a crew?
No, he was just solo sitting there next to me.
Was he pretty nice?
He said the same thing about Connor. You don't have a crew?
Yeah, he was a good dude. We were talking trash about the Chargers and football and everything like that. And, very good guy. But I just had 10 minutes to kill with Urkel. So that was cool.
Well, yeah, I was, I got another one I could throw out there. I once was SI swimsuit model Marissa Miller's personal tour guide around Churchill Downs.
Oh, what? That's a very good one.
Yeah. I made her laugh a couple times.
And how sounds like that a Mad Libs.
It was when I was working for NBC back in the day.
And how did you make her laugh?
That's just my natural charming self, Bob. But they were like, hey, Jamie, your assignment today is Marissa Miller and her boyfriend or husband or whatever he was. You have to take... He's there. Of course, she's got something. You take her around, show her the different sets, show her like all the different locations, you know, walk her around and make her feel comfortable. And I was just like, okay, cool. So I just like took her on a tour of Churchill Downs and that was fun.
That's not bad.
Those are some good fun facts, boys. Yeah.
I was having a Sixers game one time and a guy came next to us and I looked over and I'm like, oh, what's up? He goes, you don't know who I am. Yeah. I said, Robert Irvine, I watch the Food Network all the time. And, like, I started spewing off some facts about, at the time, what show he was on. I think it was, Impossible. Not Restaurant Impossible, but when he used to pull off the feats of feeding, like, hundreds of people.
Restaurant Impossible.
No, it wasn't. I don't think it was Restaurant Impossible. But whatever. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. And then he shook my hand. Then he was okay to, you know, shake my hand and have a beer
test
or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, so if you ever meet Robert Irvine, make sure you...
He's local.
No, he's from...
He's English, but I think he lives here.
Does he really?
He's like a friend of Preston and Steve. He's on their show all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I saw him in an airport one time with his wife.
Stalking Robert Irvine?
We were in like Detroit or so. I don't even remember.
Little kids on the beach in Robert Irvine. Bob's King.
I said to his wife, you want to have a catch?
Who meets Robert Irvine twice?
Yeah, that's pretty random.
I didn't say anything to him in the airport. I just saw him, so I didn't meet him twice.
Okay, you're a little starstruck.
Yeah, a little bit. I'll give you that. Yeah. Hey, Dante in Upper Darby wants to talk Sixers. What's up, Dante? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dante.
Sounds like we lost.
Looks like we're going to go to Mike and Del Ran now. Mike's got a good story. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I just wanted to... Hey, you guys, I hope you all have a great holiday weekend, first and foremost.
You too, Mike.
Just a couple of things I heard during the week. I tried to get on yesterday. 24 hours is the limit on leftover pizza that's been sitting outside.
No way. Incorrect.
Yeah, way.
Outside. Outside of the fridge.
Like, and let me tell you something. If you have pizza at work on Friday and you come in on Monday and it's still there, you're like a serial killer. You don't eat that pizza, Jamie. That's disgusting.
I don't know if he'd go from Friday to Monday.
No, I don't think I'd go that long.
I don't think he would go that long. But he will come in the next
48 hours, though, probably.
48 hours is pushing it. Was it plain?
I think so. Yeah, when you start working meats in, it gets a little sketchier.
Yeah, that's gross. I got a fun. Well, it's not really my fun facts, but my mom babysat Dakota Fanning's mom when she was a kid.
Really?
Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden, my mom's on the phone with somebody one day for a few minutes. Who are you talking to? Dakota Fanning's mom. What? And then my dad, he hitchhiked from New Hampshire to California in the 70s, and he survived by playing pool. He's a real good pool player. My dad beat Clint Eastwood in a game of pool.
Wow. What?
Yeah. Clint Eastwood was at this bar playing pool with people, and my dad got up, and he beat Clint Eastwood playing pool.
That's pretty awesome.
I'm a loser. My parents are cool. Go Birds!
Go Birds. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. I have a buddy, Mike, another Mike, who says he was in North Jersey one time at a Shore bar, and that he played pool against one Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he said he was like just a normal dude there playing pool, and then, you know, somebody was like, wait a second, that's Springsteen over there. Now, you're probably talking in the 80s, maybe? Mid-80s?
Still huge.
Oh, he was huge back then also, yeah. So this is a good subject. I like this.
Jason Devine tweeted in, my Jeopardy fun fact is smoking with vanilla ice about 20 years ago.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I don't have any really... I got one. I think I told you guys this story. So... In the summer of 88, I think September of 88, Amnesty International, that concert came to Philadelphia and I had to work it. And I had a simple job. I just ran our photographers, whatchamacallits, back and forth to the photo department. The film, so they could process it. But I had a front row seat and all back, you know, stage access and all. And this actress at the time, Mary Stuart Masterson,
yeah,
she was there, you know, back in the VIP tent. She saw,
She was in that Johnny Depp movie.
She was also
where
she was a drummer.
Miles.
Yeah, she was also a
Benny
drummer.
And June.
Benny and June and I don't know, whatever. But so she came over because we're about the same age, and she came over and she's like, "Oh, what are you doing here? Like, what do you have going on?" Talk to her, and I guess she was with a guy at the time. He came over kind of like a little angry and said, "Are you ready to go now?" And like I was like, ooh, I made her boyfriend jealous by talking to her. So Dante's back in Upper Darby. What's going on, Dante? Oh, he's going to keep doing this to us? All right, Dante, you're done for the day. That's it. We can't do this anymore.
We're in Dante's Inferno right now.
Literature joke.
Pretty good.
I read things.
All right, to take it to a dumber level, in the linchpin, Jamie wants to talk about a former Sixers coach.
This is the linchpin.
Yeah, Doc Rivers is one of the final four candidates for the Suns job. If I had to guess, I would say he's better than fourth on the list, but that's just a guess. The fact that Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are there probably make it one of the most desirable head coaching opportunities in a long time.
That's pretty cool.
That Milwaukee and Philadelphia are all pretty legit. Phoenix might be... the best, just because it seems like the West is kind of open. not that the East isn't, but you get one of the top 15 players of all time in Kevin Durant, and Devin Booker's ascending to a point of superstardom. It's pretty desirable. You know, they need better role players, but they have DeAndre Ayton. And the point I bring up that for is if Doc Rivers gets named the head coach of one of the most desirable jobs in the NBA after immediately getting fired and getting interest within 7 days, does that change the way you feel about him at all? Because it doesn't for me, but it did give me the momentary pause to think about it.
The pause to think that Doc Rivers goes to Phoenix.
Well, that
says,
Doc wasn't
no
the
coach
problem.
Can win in Philly, but I can do it here.
Yeah, just more that he wasn't the problem here. That the Phoenix, you know, the new ownership and the Calvin Booth's Denver's GM, but whoever it is looks at him and goes, "Yeah, you weren't the problem in Philly. I liked what you were doing."
That's an interesting way of looking at it.
You had a good playoffs. Your players let you down, type of thing.
Like, it's a similar situation,
very
like you
similar.
Said, yeah.
And if they have their choice, and you know every coach in the world would want to coach there right now, does it change anything for you? Because it didn't for me, but it did make me think. Like,
it doesn't really. It makes me think retreads are always going to be popular, and someone that has Doc Rivers, whether you like him or not, whatever happened here, he's a good head coach, a very good head coach in the NBA. He's guaranteed a good head coach in the NBA. The stuff that puts you over the top, has he been lacking lately? Yes, we all know that.
Sure.
I don't think it would make me feel any different. It's interesting. And if he goes there and does something special,
damning. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Connor, does it change anything for you?
Not too much. I mean, you look at the situation here. We all kind of felt that he had run his course.
Been scapegoated here. Or well, just run his course.
Scapegoat.
I think he was kind of scapegoated this year, I'll be honest.
This year, yes. But remember, people have wanted him fired since the Atlanta series 2 years ago.
Well, again, Ben Simmons.
Sure, but again, 27-point blown lead in a game you definitely should have had.
I know. But I'm more of I look to the players more often than I look to the coach.
I agree. I just think the situation had become untenable. It reminded me of the Brett Brown
situation.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with the situation. But if he gets hired by Phoenix, I'm going to go, oh, man, was he really just scapegoated here?
Yeah, but plenty of coaches, I mean, were we...
I know, that's their job.
Think about Andy Reid when he went to Kansas City. Were we like, oh, okay, they brought him in.
But at that point, it was over.
So exactly. By this point, the Doc Rivers thing is over.
I guess, yeah.
Retread, just the word, makes you think that it's not great.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so let's not use that word. Let's use an experienced coach. Whatever. Do you lean towards, if you have to hire someone, towards that or more towards brand new? Don't put names to it. Not Doc Rivers, not Nick Nurse, not any of that. If I just said to you, you got to hire a head coach, you have a choice between someone who's been in the league before and been successful, but they're a free agent for a reason, or trying someone new. Which way would you lean?
At this point, I'd rather try somebody new because the unknown is appealing to me.
I think unknown's appealing to me also.
Because unknown doesn't mean bad. I mean, you could find a Nick Nurse who just gels with Kawhi Leonard at the right time and goes on to win, you know, a title. It could be an Eric Spoelstra getting thrown with three superstars of the game. And, oh, my God, it worked.
What would you be happier with now? I'm going to be specific. All right, Connor, I'll let you answer that first. New or experienced?
Experienced. This city is not patient enough for an unknown. Like, if a guy struggles, if a guy comes in here, new coach, don't know who he is, there's already going to be hopefully they got it right. But there's not a lot of faith in the organization right now, so I feel like they're not going to get the benefit of the doubt off the bat. And you've got to compete right away. There's no, we struggled through the first 2 months. People are going to be calling for blood if they don't win over the first 2 months of the season. And that's not fair. But that's something you're going to get if it's an unknown or if it's a proven guy. And I feel like that plays more into bringing someone who's been there before.
Bradford Whitewater Heaters. You may not always need a new water heater, but when you do, choose Bradford White. The reason I bring that up, now I'll be specific about it. What gets you more excited? Sixers hire Nick Nurse? Sixers hire Chris Quinn?
Probably Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
But Chris Quinn does appeal to me a lot. But I'd probably go Nick Nurse, end of the day.
It's not fair to Chris Quinn, but I see him as a product of his environment.
And that's more...
That's a good thing.
Well, is it? Can he create that environment here? Or is he the guy that's been...
Well, that's
the thought. Oh,
okay. I mean, to have assistant coach Miami Heat under Eric Spoelstra on your resume, I think is a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, well, Brett Brown had it under Popovich, and he didn't work out here. I mean, we've tried that
before.
I
hear you, but there has been, as Jamie said, there have been people that have done it very well.
Yeah, I just think for this franchise and for the temperament of the fan base right now, the safe move is the best move, and that's a veteran coach.
But Doug Peterson and Nick Sirianni got to Super Bowls.
Bang.
Wow. I mean, yeah. Can't argue with that. Those are both factual things.
And I remember people ripping Doug. Oh, he was just a high school coach 2 years ago, and Nick Sirianni was a blubbering idiot after day one on a weird Zoom call press conference. And both of them got to the highest peak.
I'm going
to
counter your bang, though. Counterbang.
Pinky. Wait, what? Is this a Connor counterbang?
Who's going about the hiring of those coaches for the Eagles?
Jeffrey Lurie.
You trust him a hell of a lot more than you trust the Sixers organization.
Who's in charge of hiring? You went owner.
Well, that's because it's just he was the guy.
Tim, Don Smolenski, and Howie Roseman making the decision, but I think Jeffrey Lurie carries the most weight there, obviously.
I trust,
how much of a play... I'm sorry, go ahead, Connor.
I trust them more than I trust the Sixers brass. Maury.
Well, how much of a play do you think Josh Harris has in the hiring of the coach?
I get the impression,
and this is only feeling
from him, that he's pretty hands off.
As do I.
And I think he pays handsomely Daryl Morey and Elton Brand to make those decisions. And, you know, Tad Brown's probably involved with that. But I have a feeling Blitzer and Harris are kind of like, this is your guys' world. We'll invest and give you what you need, but like, you're the decision makers. We'll sign off on it. Like, I don't think they could go hire some D3 coach from, you know, Ohio Wesleyan and be like, here's our new coach. Harris and Blitzer might be like, all right, there's still like some public relations involved with this. Like, calm down. But for the most part, I think they're hands off.
Yeah, I do too. And to add to Jamie's bang on you, Connor.
Whoa.
Rob Thompson last year took the Phillies to the World Series in his first managerial bang.
That's a fair point. Wow. And I trust John Middleton and Dave Dombrowski more than I trust anybody in the Sixers front office. I'll keep pointing back to that. The people hiring these people, I do not trust, which is why I want them to make the safe move where I've seen it work somewhere else before. I don't trust them to evaluate.
What's the terminology for a counterbang to a counterbang?
Oh, man.
A triple bang?
Could be.
Very well could be.
Sure.
And you can get all the triple bangs you need with the Bet Parks Sportsbook app. Bet Philadelphia baseball all summer long on the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app. Official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan. Must be 21 in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bang, bang, bang! So Coach is celebrating his birthday today, Coach. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes on you. Being at the age where you are,
yeah.
What is your ultimate birthday day?
You know what? It was probably, you mean something that I've already done?
No, like today. If you had your ultimate birthday day today,
yeah.
What would it be?
I would say that last year, as I look back at some of my Facebook memories, I was down in Rehoboth, went on the boat, and went crabbing. And sat there on the boat all day and crabbed all day. And it was awesome.
So that would be your ultimate day today. You could be down in Rehoboth.
Yep. If I could leave here right now, that's probably what I would do. I'd take my take Cam down there, drop a line in. You don't even do the traps.
Sip on a Zima.
Well,
drop a Jolly Rancher in there. Yeah. Gets a little flavoring.
You get some string. Get a hot dog. Tie the hot dog to the end of the string and lower it down into the water. And then when you see the crab come there,
not what you do.
You slowly pull the string up and then you scoop them up with the net.
Are you serious? That's how you crab?
Well,
put a hot dog on there?
It depends if
we used to do chicken thighs in the trap.
Yeah,
that's what we do.
Yeah, chicken. Yeah.
Or chicken bones.
Hot dog's good too, because then you know the leftover hot dogs, you just eat them.
Serious question here.
Yeah.
Would you spend a day down the shore with the coach? I don't think I could.
All right. Well, no, last year I actually was on the pontoon boat, and the pontoon boats are great, and then you can go into really shallow water, and you can see the little crabs walking up there. So you don't have to, like, guess to feel if a crab is on there. You can see them. Pick them right up, put them in the basket.
I mean, you might unwind at the beach and loosen up. Maybe.
Nah.
Nah.
A couple Zimas in you.
Well, I don't know. I think it'd be a case like, what do you want to do? And you know, Coach, he can't, like, answer a question directly, it'd be like, well, let me tell you what I don't want to do.
No, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I think he gave you an answer.
Yeah, I gave you the honest
in
answer.
In your face. You just can't handle it.
Yeah.
MBDBDBF on our YouTube
soup.
Page.
Alphabet soup.
Yeah, he gets mad when I call him that on the weekends.
Coach, he says you look great for your age.
Thanks. You can't see me on YouTube.
He puts it at 74.
It's nice. Appreciate that.
Age 74.
Now, Coach is probably, I'll say, somewhere in the 46 area. Jane, what do you think?
A little bit older.
I'll take the over.
I'll say 49. 48.
I'll go 51.
Coach, any of us right?
I feel good for my age.
Are any of us right?
I feel very good.
All good guesses.
All good guesses. I feel very good.
Who's weirder, him or Egan?
It's close. So Egan has off today.
Yeah.
In case anybody out there didn't know.
By the way, he told us
with 2 minutes ago in the show. Oh, he did. So yesterday we're in our post-show meeting. And Coach, you know, Coach always lays out, well, tomorrow's Friday, we have Egan's off. And I'm like, wait, what? And Pat's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Why do you keep these things secret? He's like, well, I have to do something. Well, what's up? Is everything all right? You know, I have to take Jack to school. I'm like, all right, why does that have to be a national secret? Like, why couldn't you on Monday just say, hey, I'm off Friday because, Jack's got a thing at school. But to him, it's like, no, it's.
He's so strange.
He told us at the end of, he told me at the end of the show yesterday.
Oh, so you just found out also?
Yeah. Right before you guys found out, he told me that, oh yeah, I need tomorrow off.
So the question is, who's stranger?
I don't know the answer.
Nah, it's close.
I don't think I could. I love Pat to death, as you know. I love everybody here.
He's so weird.
I don't think, and I was being honest when I said I don't think I could spend a day down the shore with Coach. I don't think I could spend a day down the shore with Egan, though.
Well, we've met Cam, Coach's son Cam, Camille. Have we met Pat's wife?
It's a good
Pat
point.
Pat has a wife?
That's a good point.
So he says.
No, never. I remember when I first started here, we were talking family. I forget who I was on. It might have been when I was a guest. And, one of the hosts was talking family, and Pat says in my ear, do not mention my wife's name. So
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, so. Oh, man, we didn't do it today. It's Friday.
Oh, we didn't. What happened to it?
Haley remembered. She's doing Shove It, Bob, on the YouTube. Well, we can end the show with it, can't we?
Yeah, just give me a second.
Yeah, I got to give you a second. Damn, how did we forget on the best Friday leading into the summer?
I mean, I'm not dancing.
We don't need to. Even Pat doesn't dance all that much anymore. It's kind of like lost its luster in the dance department, but at least people like when we shove it on Fridays, but I guess we lost it. Oh, well. Listen, we hope everybody has a great, great holiday weekend. Please, everyone, be safe. Be nice to each other. We will see you back here on Tuesday.
But not until then, because.
I don't know.
Oh, you asked for it. I found it.
I know.
I did it.
Kind of lost.
And now you're not going to do it?
You can have it in the background as
no,
we finish
up. No, you can do it.
You can shove it. No, you shove it. We will be back on Tuesday. Big announcement Tuesday. It'll be great. John Kincaid will be back, feeling better, ready to go. So please join us back then. Please join us then.
Oh, you almost had a good hour.
And the plane. Come on. I had to finish it like that. So, great weekend, everybody. We really appreciate you. And remember to support life-saving cancer research. Join me and our generous partners, Paul B. Moyer and Sons, in making a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research today at 975thefanatic.com/AACR. Cancer research saves lives. Have a great one, everybody. We really appreciate you. We will see you on Tuesday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.